This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, 7 o'clock, right on the dot. It is a Tuesday night. You're in Studio C with the show with Clayton McKee. That is me. I'm here alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer. And look at that. It's Al Perkins. He showed up. Well, you show up all the time, dear.
I try.
Very busy woman. I know you are.
I forgot to get anywhere near the microphone.
And you didn't plan anything for this week's show either, so... It's going to be an interesting 3 hours, but you seem to always manage to...
No, exactly.
I'm sure we'll
just wing it.
I've never been less concerned.
Yeah. Exactly. Somehow we managed to fill for coming up, well, a year and a half at least, we're managed to get through this. Again, thank you all for joining us, no matter where you are. I don't know, so many people are out there listening different places, both on video. Thank you for watching us on video. The audio stream is also up, so... if you are out there, Kuwait and Israel, currently two people that are listening, and as well as people in the United States on our audio stream. So, hello. Thank you for joining us.
Just a reminder, I'm thinner on audio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we actually all are. We're getting to that point.
Okay, well, yeah. I just wasn't sure.
I feel like I may be as well this week.
If you can or cannot
watch. I feel
watch,
very svelte on audio. Right.
We all look great.
We sound great, regardless.
Look how thin my fingers are.
Unique New York.
Also, before we get much further into the show, we should give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to my friend Joey Gutierrez. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday.
And also, he shares a birthday with the one and only Miss Megan Mullally, also known as Karen Walker from Will and Grace.
Very nice.
He believes that the reason that he's like he is because he shares a birthday with Megan Mullally.
And Anne Hathaway and somebody else that was 33. She was 31. Let me just go back a page here.
On that device you have.
Yeah.
That gives you
Ryan
information.
Ryan Gosling.
He's a cutie.
Wait, it's his birthday today?
He is a cutie.
He is a sexy pants.
Yeah, I'm not mad about that.
And to fans of really obscure comedies, Wallace Shawn turned 70 today. And when you look at his picture, you realize where you've seen him.
Is he like a character comedian?
Yeah. Googling.
And everything?
Yeah. Cause
I have no idea. That name doesn't ring a bell. Just give us something he's in. Tell us, would you please?
He's in My Dinner with Andre.
But I know that name of that movie, but I don't think I've seen it.
I know the name Andre. Oh.
Yeah, you totally know him. God, what else is he in? He's got that voice. You know him.
Oh, God. Yeah, he has the lisp thing.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yes.
He's been on Love Boat a number of
lots
times.
Of things.
Love American Style.
Very, very famous.
I feel like.
I'm finding out that we have no audio on our video stream, so we only at this point you can see us, but you can't hear us.
Oh, that's the wrong. That's a losing proposition.
I don't know how that's going to work out for us?
Talk very.
You guys
slowly
go ahead and
in case they can read. Okay.
I just wanted to make sure he really is in My Dinner with Andre because he is. And if you ever have a chance to see that god awful movie, that is completely pointless in 70s drivel, but it's so funny. And then one of the best jokes in Waiting for Guffman. When he talks about the action that he has all the action dolls.
Okay.
And one of the action doll sets that he has is My Dinner with Andre. It's a movie seriously about two guys having dinner talking about the vegetables
for
two solid fucking hours.
No.
So the fact that he has the action dolls from My Dinner with Andre.
Oh my God. It's
one of those jokes that goes over 99% of the audience's head.
Right.
And the rest of us were like pissing our pants.
You know where I know him from? Is he is Rex in Toy Story?
Yes,
he's the dinosaur.
Well,
that's like
you are correct. Yeah.
And he had a really funny part on Murphy Brown, and I can't remember who he played on Murphy Brown now, but he like showed up there, and I think it's because he did something with Candace Bergen's wife. One of his big movies, not big movies, is a Louis Malle movie because she had the famous French director for a husband. And they brought him in for his bizarre sense of humor.
Well, he's a good one.
Atlantic City is the movie. I knew it. I knew there was a tie in there. Just got to poke me somewhere and I'll tell you. Louis Malle directed Atlantic City and that's Candace Bergen's husband.
You're
and that's
good.
Why I know. Even when I'm not even trying, I'm good.
You're good.
Bless your heart.
I know. Even 20 years later, on a night that I was probably half asleep on the couch.
Well, Katie, we know when you got to the studio, you were in high drama.
I was.
At high volume on your phone with something. So is there
again tonight?
Yes, yeah, it's but not it family. Work, not family.
Oh God!
And I will have you know that family has it's all resolved. Everything's everyone's happy, and we're all going to be at Thanksgiving again. So that's either good or not good. Well, I don't know.
Let us know the following Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, just you know, a little work drama. Ain't no thing.
It's all right. We worked our work drama out at a bar this week, so that went very nicely.
Good.
That's
good.
Yeah, my week has been, I think, uneventful.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so that's kind of nice. Good. I had a little, what did I do on the weekend? I literally, it's Tuesday, and I genuinely can't remember what happened on the weekend. Really. So... Yeah. Here I am again.
No one's
and
dead.
I'm still alive. I'm here. I think it's been pretty uneventful. I'm working and HRCing and being a mommy. So
yeah, well, all three. I think. Well, you're working. If you're a mom, you're working.
Yeah.
Yes. On board for that one, Marn.
Yeah. Well, this was a weekend or a week of going out for me, which never happens.
Yeah, because I did. I ran into you. Was it Wednesday, Thursday?
Thursday
night. I ran into you out, and I'm like, "Wow, you look like somebody I know." And then I realized it was you.
Usually see you on Tuesdays.
Yeah, different tea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Jason Covert wanted to. We ran some errands, and then he's like, "Let's go out." And of course, the Vikings had just won the Super Bowl, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, exactly. They won something.
They won their first game in the United States. Yeah, that had to be pointed out.
On American soil.
And so we went out. Yeah, we ended up at Charlie's. Went to Stacy's first. He had never been there. And then we went down to Charlie's. And Sunday we went out for dinner with friends, Aaron and I, and ended up... Oh, Kat. We ended up at the Cash.
Oh.
And it was ridiculously fun for us. We had...
Wait, and this was Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday. So it was karaoke.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
With and the lesbians. Yeah.
That's always scary. Now, cash on a Sunday night means Monday is going to just be painful.
Yeah. Oh, no, actually, it was okay.
It's a holiday, though. So
Oh, shit. You're right.
So Sunday was unnecessarily busy in different bars.
It was not necessarily busy there. There were some people there that were real fun to mock and have fun with. And so we did that. And then... there was someone named Robin, or no, I lie, Brenda, who was in the lineup. So, of course, Aaron had to let Buddy Early know that. And all of a sudden, I look up, and there's Buddy Early. So it was very fun. It was really enjoyable to hang out with him.
Well, and you like the karaoke singing. You do. And Jason, I think, doesn't Jason sing?
Jason's a singer, but Aaron is the big-time singer. Mm. And so we just enjoyed going back and forth her friends, our friends, Katie and Kathy came down there as well and sang, and it was just mocking people though. And God bless Kat. That's all I have to say. God bless her.
Was she singing?
I do enjoy her. Nope.
She has a dry sense of humor too.
God, she's funny.
She is very funny though.
Yeah. Very funny. Yeah. So it was
I've always loved Kat.
And it was. Just the crowd, real interesting.
Oh.
But the best thing, like if it's not really crowded on a karaoke night, it's my favorite because then I get to sing over and over and over and over and over. It makes me real happy.
Here's the fault in that logic. So do other people. And
that's a good point.
It's a short list. Get signed up early.
It was so funny because this, and I'm not going to say what her initials are. One's at the end of the alphabet, one's RJ. And this person, I have no idea who it was. God awful.
One's at the end, one's RJ.
It kept coming up and, wanted to borrow Aaron's phone. Hey, I need to listen to the song on YouTube. I'm up next.
Oh, shit.
What? And I sat there fucking around pretending I was doing my fantasy football stuff because I'm like, you're not touching anything of mine.
Wow. That's
good. I never thought about cheating like that.
She was listening, and it was Lady Antebellum, and she apparently didn't get to hear enough of it.
Oh. But you would think you would only attempt songs that you knew.
Oh, Marnie.
Well, I've done kamikaze karaoke before, and there's, like, it's...
No, I get fun-ish. That. I get that. But,
she wasn't... This wasn't kamikaze.
Okay, this is
like
regular.
Nor was it like signed.
Yeah.
She picked this up and then didn't know it.
Not at all. And then kept coming up saying things like, really shouldn't be singing things like, I don't know, the Beatles.
Oh.
don't do that, please.
No.
Nobody wants to hold your hand.
No. Don't touch my phone. I'm not going to hold your hand. Say,
and she's probably not going for the easy to sing, I want to hold your hand. She's going for like the Oh Darling or something or like the really, really, really high, hard songs.
And let me just point out that one of them.
I know anything about.
Hey, Jude. That's not what she's.
No. Actually, that's the problem. That was part of the problem.
That's a sing-along-y
she
one.
She was doing that, except for it wasn't even sing-along-y. Like, you couldn't. Because you're like,
it was just
what
so
was
bad.
That? And let it
God,
be.
God, I
and
really just wish I was
let, let it be.
And I wish you had. I wish I had given her that piece of sound advice ahead of time.
Honey, but let it be.
She came, and then she came up, and she's one of those that was so serious and says, I didn't like that arrangement. I need to borrow a pen. I didn't like that arrangement.
Uh-huh.
What?
You're listening to songs on YouTube.
This sounds like somebody I know, actually.
I will give her a little bit of credit here. Silver Springs, sometimes they have it in the actual song Silver Springs from the 1975 album that no one has. Or they have the karaoke live version from the dance. And they're very, very different.
Right. And here's the thing. You would know that. You would know that, and you'd be able to tell that, and you'd be able to adjust for that.
Yeah.
This had zero to do with that.
Right, right.
God bless you for trying. Yeah. And God bless you for giving her even an ounce of that. But no, she had an ounce of something else before she walked in there. Most of it was under her fingernails. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
I'm saying. And so, but she just kept singing over and over.
Yeah, that stinks.
Anyway, delightful weekend. The end.
That's fine.
You're funny.
The end.
All right, there's that. Well,
it was good.
The end.
I enjoyed it.
Okay, well, that's good. So you're going out for, you're done for like a year.
Yeah.
Okay, really? You're
exactly.
Well, and now it's coming up to the holidays, so then that changes things a little bit. But not a ton.
I know, I always end up getting dragged out by my hair at some point during the holidays. I'm always like, why?
Why?
Why am I here?
But I figure, you know, it.
But then every once in a while, it's fun. Right. Like, I got a little buzzed at karaoke a couple weeks ago, and it was
fun.
It was all right.
Yeah, well, and I ran into Ron Rogers at Stacy's, and he is just always such a joy, and it was just funny. He's like, "So when are we gonna hang out? When can I come and get you? I'll come like on next Wednesday. No, I have to teach. What about next Friday? I'll just show up at your house, and then I'm like, no, I'll be with Aaron. Well, what about? And he kept like going through all the and no, because I have something that day, and he's like, I'm gonna come and just get you one day. I'm just gonna haul you out. And I thought,
haul you out.
Yeah, I'm gonna haul you out. And I was like, oh,
I love a threatened kid.
Like,
kidnapping.
I'm tired already. Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure that I'm already sleepy about you dragging me out.
Yeah,
so
that's funny.
We'll see how that goes. But I appreciate his want for trying to do that. So it was very
he's
sweet.
Wanting to see you he's out of door, al exactly. fresco, if you will,
al fresco. Very nice.
Well, I'm going to make this little update to you all right now. We will have no audio or no video for this week's show. So if you are used to watching us, well, click over and listen to our audio. Marnie claims to be thinner. It's the audio only. So let's click over to the audio
That's
stream.
True.
So if you're watching us on video,
hot damn,
sorry for it. We have an audio issue. That's no big deal. We have audio now.
Oh, can we dim these lights then?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
If nobody else needs to see us, we certainly don't want to see each other.
Eyes are killing me today.
I like to see you very nicely.
Yeah, not that much light.
Stand by. You do that. You talk about something you've done that's important.
Yeah, Al, how was your week?
Busy at the beginning and like play. It was actually a very pleasant. It was those I'm looking to get rid of.
Well,
the ones in my eyes. My eyes are hurt today. I don't know why.
Yeah, ouchie.
You think I was like. Oh, that's better.
Ooh,
oh, thank
I
you.
I like that. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know you can't see it, but it just
fabulous.
Got lovely
Sweaty
in here.
The ambiance is lovely.
So it was a big, fun beginning of the week, and I was working in a different department and playing around with them.
Oh, yeah.
We had a tough, rough night. Oh, that's funny. We had a tough, rough night, so we decided to go work it out at a bar afterwards at like 7:30 in the a.m., and we worked it out.
Where did you go?
We went to Dick's. Yeah, Dick's.
Nice. Have me shut off your mic and then try to talk.
Well, Marnie just asked, where did we go? Again.
I'm going to leave it up, Marn. Because we get to hear you eat your apple. It sounds healthy.
Went to Dick's Hideaway, which sounds dirty, but it's not. It's
we talked about that before.
I know, and I absolutely love it there. And they're not all as excited to go there as I am, but they know that that's the one way to get me to go to breakfast.
Okay.
Is to tell me that they're going to take
Well, you said
me.
That you love their breakfast.
I love their food.
Yeah.
And they just take the dinner and throw two eggs at it. We're not going to lie. We're not going to try and pretty
A nice,
them
lovely steak with a couple sunny side uppers.
That's good.
Yeah, and then it was just...
uppers. I said uppers.
Tim and JD were in town for their little honeymoon extravaganza, so had lunch with them a couple times, took a couple of walks around this. Very nice. They looked good.
They're super happy. Nice, they're married. Everything's going really well.
Everything seems to be going well.
A good start to the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And one day walked around all around downtown and had cocktails. And nice. The next day rode my bike around and met up with them. And they were having no part of the walking or riding, but I was.
No. Yeah.
Very good.
I was just meeting up with people. And it was just a lovely weekend. And then today I just can't sleep. And I've been ODing on JFK documentaries, which...
They're everywhere this time of year, especially on the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, they're going. No, I mean,
yeah, there's even more than normal.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're 100% right. Yeah, because there was even an interview, I forget what show I was watching, where the when they walked, I've watched every so many of it, I've forgotten the names now.
Zapruder.
No, not Zapruder.
Oswald. Ruby.
No, Oswald.
Okay.
When they walked him out, but right when he was getting shot, the police official that was handcuffed to him, mm-hmm. that was dressed in all white, they interviewed him. I'm like, God damn, he's still alive at like 93.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I was like, wow, they're digging up everybody to ask every question they could possibly ask.
Well, I just can't wait until they're all fucking dead, so somebody can just be like, yep, this is what happened.
Well, I'll do it in entertainment, but there's some interesting stuff. Coming up this week,
okay.
And I'm a friend of PBS because I finally put up or shut up and realized good. I was.
I'm a friend of NPR.
See,
I'm an NPR supporter. Yeah,
I think it's the same thing.
I'm a friend of everybody.
Yeah,
no, I'm not. That's really not true at all.
I'm a $5 a month friend. Really, yeah. I'm a super important friend.
I went 12.
It's the least you could have done.
It really is.
Yeah.
So they sent me a mailer and they had so many specials on this week that I was like, all right, I'm in. And then CNN has theirs coming up. And.
Right.
Well, because I keep seeing different JFKs, like on, and they're like, oh, you're playing JFK. And I'm like, that sounds about right. And then they're like, oh, you're playing JFK. Oh, okay. And then this guy is playing JFK.
Rob
and I'm like,
Lowe
what?
Rob Lowe's on, like, maybe Hallmark's version.
Yes.
And there's a lot of different, you know, the lady. A lot of different
Jackie.
Ladies. That's the one. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a lot of different... ladies.
Well, I think I saw Fox is airing one where they don't even think JFK is dead. Like, they're showing one where
Sarah Palin,
they have people, right? Palin's in, everybody's in, they're hiding JFK somewhere. God damn.
Awesome.
I'm sure there is.
Well, I'll review some of that in entertainment. Tell
of
you why
course.
That's probably not true. Clayton McKee, back cover model on, is it Echo?
Oh, the Charlie, well, every year the staff and management of Charlie's does a group, we do a group picture. Of all of the current staff, and for about 3-4 years, however many years I've been there, I've been involved in it. So what it does, what they do is we take the picture in October, and it comes out in the issue that's right before the anniversary of the bar, which this year is 29 years
so
that,
crazy.
That Charlie's has been up and running in Phoenix. So anyway, the back cover of Echo, yes, it's all of us. I'm the four people on the end of the back line.
Shut up.
No, I think I'm third or fourth in. I forgot which one. Anyway, so yes, that's out there.
Awesome.
But I'm downloading it now.
God bless Puss.
One of the things. Yeah. Oh, and I liked how they did that. They had Puss and Barbara and Nevaeh all in their little turquoise. Mm-hmm. They had us all in. And I owned that black cowboy hat, and it is worn once a year. I work at Charlie's for rodeo, and it's worn. The other time, twice a year, rodeo, and for that goddamn
picture.
There you are, Katie.
You look so good.
Yeah, fuck that. I don't look good at all.
Anyway, we just got to get Puss to do makeup for pictures.
She doesn't know how.
Yeah.
No, we'll figure it out later on with that. But one of the things that I did this week that was much fun, there's two things that I found that, for those of you who live in Central Phoenix, you probably saw it on the Facebook I posted it. We're getting a... It's not really. We call it the gayborhood. It's the kind of the gay district. It's where most of the gay bars are along 7th Avenue between Indian School and Camelback and this little central corridor area. We're getting an over-the-road sign similar to in cities like, you know, in Cisco and in L.A. There are areas. San Diego has them, like Hillcrest and University Heights. We're getting a Melrose District sign over 7th Avenue.
That's so cool.
Just north of Indian School. So as you're driving along, and it's the only one in the city. I think that's very cool that we in Central Phoenix will have the only lit up neighborhood sign.
As that you can, is I think it's very cool.
Cool. Yeah.
Wait, like so that. Just north of Indian School. So will it be coming from downtown then?
Right,
it'll be
yeah.
heading, yes. heading,
right.
driving
so
north.
As you cross yeah. Indian School up 7th Avenue, yeah. where the
just
where,
before the Rock,
right where the right to, across, I see, just right. down from the Rock and across from Paris dry cleaners. Yeah, so that's where it's going to be. The installation goes in tonight. The lighting ceremony is next Wednesday. So I'm excited to go to that. So I'll go to Stacy's and then we'll walk down and
that sounds so fun.
It's one of the last things that Tom Simplot, our openly gay District 4 city council member, was able to get done and push through. Before he vacates that that office, which I think is very cool. It's sort of a designation and a marker for us. So that came out today in regards to the closing of the street tonight. They're putting that up, yada, yada. But the one thing that I did this past week, which was so much fun, I think you two will remember, you, Katie, probably won't. Do the names Dale Austin and Tim Rastic ring a bell with you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dale and
oh,
Tim.
God.
Dale and Tim.
Is Dale still in Texas?
No, he actually moved, and he's now up in, like, Wyoming somewhere. Still works for Wells Fargo
Wells
Banks.
Fargo, right.
Been there 20 years. Dale and Tim were co-owners, along with Jay Foster, of Foster's.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 So the other night, I sat in Stacy's at the end of the bar, all by myself, and they walk in, Dale Austin and Tim Rastic, and then Stacy Lewis. The four of us sat at the end of the bar. We had so much fun. Because it was, they hadn't, Tim had been in the building once since Stacy took it over. Mm. But so, obviously, they're sitting in a building that they made, you know, kind of a semi-legendary bar in the early 90s out of. And for many years, we all had a good time there. But literally, sitting at the end of the bar with them, just one-liners and quips.
Oh,
and,
they are.
God, it was just so funny. It seemed longer than it was. It was probably an hour, hour and a half, but it seemed like it was 4 hours. It was so much fun. So that was what I did on, it was on Sunday evening.
That's fun.
So much fun to sit there and watch and rip everybody and then make fun of how lousy certain people are that are in the crowd. It's sort of like what you did at the Cash.
Totally.
Mocking people for,
for sport.
I figured they're mocking
sport.
Me.
Yeah.
Why not?
But that trash disco back in the day.
Oh, we had some fun.
Just phenomenal.
God, we had some fun. Yeah, that's all very different. For those of you who don't, and really, there is not a club in town that is like that anymore. There's no place that just has that feel and has that vibe. Because I think they've all kind of watered down because there's so many of them now. You can't have that one big focal point like you used to do. But oh my God, the fun we used to have at Foster's with Trash Disco Sundays. It was so hot in the summertime that literally all the mirrors that went floor to ceiling were just steamed up.
Yeah.
It was just so warm and hot.
And some weeks they would mix it up and lie, and then some weeks they would just be in the mood and they would do like unadulterated disco. Like we were not pretending. We were putting on the Village People for four songs and just going.
Yeah.
Yeah, just press play on that CD.
Yeah,
all the extended versions of album versions, yes.
And you could tell that like CDs of like old classic 12 inches were becoming popular. So people were so excited to find Patrick Cowley, I Feel Love, for 9 minutes that they would just play it.
Yeah.
And he'd just be in the
heaven. It goes on and on and on. Yes.
I was at Palmer's Gymnastics this morning and a Donna Summer song came on over the radio and it was very I generally take her to gymnastics on Wednesday morning and it's like a fucking shit show. It's literally a zoo. It is like there's people everywhere. People are screaming and crying and pulling hair. And on Tuesday there was nobody. It was just like five little families. And anyway, so this Donna Summer song comes on and one of the other moms in the group kind of started singing a little bit along to it. And I caught myself rolling my eyes going, oh, please. You don't know. I was like channeling Al in that moment, and Clayton, and I was like, "Come on, honey, get real."
Oh, I love that.
Donna Summer snob.
Oh, now you're a Donna. Goddamn, she owns Live and More for 2 months, and all of a sudden she's the Donna Summer snob.
Yeah. Totally. It was. It was.
I like it a lot.
I laughed at myself after I did it and went, "Oh, Katie."
I am.
Harrison just said she remembers Foster's. She remembers Foster's when it was alligators.
Of course.
That's when.
Wait, where was this? This was
Stacy's.
Before in the 80s,
yeah,
80s,
before
like 80,
the E-Lounge,
because that's where I came on
right,
the
yeah,
scene.
So way before.
When it was E-Lounge.
So in 86, when Harrison and I were out dancing, we would go to alligators and listen to like unironic 80s music.
Right.
Because they were called the hits of the day then. It wasn't 80s.
It was current.
Yeah. Unironic.
Casey Kasem was still counting them down when he was physically able to do
Although,
it.
Although, and we would always get excited, even though it was an oldie by the time I moved out here, but Kiss Me by Tin Tin. I still love
What's
that song.
What's that?
Kiss me with your mouth. I can't sing today, but
anyways. I have no idea what that song is.
I don't either.
Kiss with a kiss. Anyway, it's
find
a good song.
It.
Yeah.
You gotta find it. Kiss by Tin.
I'm going to.
What's it? By who?
By Tin Tin.
Tin Tin Kiss.
Not Rin.
No, I understand.
Okay, good.
Yeah, right.
It was such a good song, but that used to always get us going. And it really was an oldie, because I think it's from like 81 or 82.
Ooh. Just a child.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day you were.
Kind of like Dancing in Heaven.
Parenthetically speaking.
Orbital Bebop.
Parenthetically. That is my new... I love that phrase.
Heaven.
Makes me
I
laugh.
I never thought I'd ever get my feet this far. Orbital Bebop. Remember that song?
We'll have to look it up too.
Parenthetically. There it is. If you look it up, it's called Dancing in Heaven. Parenthetically. Orbital Bebop.
Dancing in Heaven. Parenthetically. Orbital.
Parenthetically.
I just put the parenthesis.
Orbital Bebop.
Yeah, B-O, pop, bop. Okay, good. All right, right
I
can't
remember who sings that song, though. Orbits. I think it's Orbits.
Oh.
Maybe. That might be a travel site.
Google that, would you? It is a travel site.
Yeah, it is that as well.
Oh, there it is. Your Love is Sweeter Than Wine. That's the okay.
Oh, Harrison. She's on it.
We used to dance our fool heads off to that song.
Yeah, so it was Alligators, then again, went through Foster. Did it go from Alley to Foster's?
No, there was something else in between. And something else before, too.
And then after Foster's, C.C. Peniston bought it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was something else for like 2 days. And then it became E-Lounge.
Oh, so C.C. didn't really work out.
Yeah, I didn't go. Yeah, didn't
no, but she was probably there for a year.
Well, I'd say 2 days. I mean,
a season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe perhaps a season.
A season of love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she was in there. But and what was crazy is you would think that she would have been fine based on the fact that she, at that time, when she was, finally in all of her songs, she had the gays behind her.
Yeah.
And then I'm not exactly sure what happened, how it spun out of control. But
Q Feel was Dancing in Heaven.
Oh.
Orbital Bebop.
Orbital Bebop. Parenthetic. For pointless information, tune in every week.
I know.
No,
I really looked it up, though, as Dancing in Heaven, parenthetically, Orbital Bebop. And it came up.
And it came up.
I mean, it did.
It is the correct title. Finger on the trigger.
I keep forgetting.
Because that is another one. It's really called We're Not in Love Anymore.
Right. I keep forgetting.
It's the parenthetical.
Yeah, yes.
I do like that. I do know that song.
But no, but the C.C. Peniston thing was years after her the shine had waned, however you want to say that. The bloom was off the rose of her career.
Well, right, it was a couple years past, but still, I mean, she was... It wasn't like people had forgotten about it.
Well,
we were still dancing,
still
finally.
She could still go to Pride and sing a couple songs and get people jazzed.
And she could do that till the day she dies. Because that song's not going nowhere. No,
I went to a pool party over off of 12th Street, north of like Bethany, somewhere in that area. And she was at the pool party singing songs.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was with Donny Side, Steve Malone, Miss Ellie, whole group of people.
That's awesome.
Years ago. Oh, Lord.
How
so
is
many
Donnie?
Donnie's fantastic. Yeah. I ran into Donnie at Donnie and Steve Malone when I was hosting the Pride in Cottonwood.
Oh, cool.
The Verde Valley Pride. I just walking through and I saw those two.
And there they were.
Yeah, just running. Nice. I guess Steve has a cabin up north in Cordis Junction. Okay. So they were up there and they said, well, hey, there's a Pride. Let's go over.
Sure.
Yeah. So I
somebody's proud on the other side of this tree.
I love her.
This junction.
Somewhere in this junction.
Conjunction.
What's your function?
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. This is completely pointless and just tells you how tired I am today.
Okay.
That commercial where they rip on Conjunction.
The train commercial?
For Southern something train.
Norfolk Southern.
Norfolk Southern. I love that fucking commercial. Like, I actually stop and turn it up and sing along.
Okay.
I loves it.
Here's my question.
It's like my favorite commercial since It's the Real Thing.
Oh my God, really?
I don't know that one.
The Coca-Cola?
Coca-Cola.
Back in the 70s?
Oh my God, I was going to say, like, I don't know that one. Now
all
I know that
Coca-Cola
one.
All the Coca-Cola commercials that used to make you cry. Oh, like, I'd like to buy the world.
That Barry Manilow wrote.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think he wrote
I don't think he wrote that one, no. No, he wrote the Dr. Pepper.
Oh, if you ever need me to cry, you just put those funky
certain McDonald's commercials.
The Apple look-alike people all standing on the mountainside singing
I'd like to buy the world a Coke. Yeah.
Sound like a little girl.
Done.
It's kind of like the Camp David peace accord that's going on in my living room.
Katie, do you have any idea? Have you seen that?
The commercial.
Yeah, okay, got it.
I've seen it. Ironically, Super Bowl throwback or something.
Yeah, they do.
They'll throw that up with a new logo on it, and they'll rebroadcast it. Yeah,
I never saw the real
one. No, because you weren't even alive.
Born, yeah.
No, right. I mean, your parents weren't even planning on not planning you.
But it's the goofiest fuckers they've ever found on a mountain. I mean,
it's almost like the Sound of Music children grew up.
Because that's what it makes
on a mountainside.
It always makes me think of Sound of Music.
Me too. Yeah. Totally
the
does.
Trap children did some acid, learned how to ski, and sang a song about their soda.
And they're like, listen, we're going to pay you some money if you'll just sing a song for a minute. We're going to fly a helicopter over you.
Sing a song about their Coke.
But I still get weepy because it makes me so nostalgic for something I never did.
Plus, it's also the original Coca-Cola. I'm not convinced. Even though they changed it, was it in the 80s when they did New Coke?
New Coke.
And then they went back. I still don't think they got it. I don't think they're back to original.
God, I love Coca-Cola.
Allegedly. Now, I don't drink soda, so I don't know anything about these
stories. However, the Mexico, if you buy Coca-Cola from Mexico, that's the real stuff, I believe.
Yeah, Mexican Coke.
And you can get that locally at various restaurants.
It's the real Cosa.
again, a shout out to people listening right now on our audio feed. Kuwait, New Zealand, the U.S. has got several people. Woo! Israel is also here. So hello to everybody. So
tell all your friends that we're not on video.
We're not on video
which
tonight.
Which is a great kindness today.
Yes.
Speaking of the 80s, I'm turning Japanese. I think I'm turning Japanese.
You think you
I
are.
Really think so. I mean, my eyes are so squinty. Like, every piece of
Well, I'm glad
hurts.
You could wake up at 5:30 this afternoon just to come join
us. No, I just set the alarm. I've been awake all fucking day.
Oh, I got to leave the house now. Okay.
Some issue with sound?
Huh? Yeah, we don't have it on video. We have our sound is perfectly fine.
Oh yeah,
someone just came in and said no sound.
Yes. On video.
Just on video.
Oh, it's Got John.
It. Oh, John. I'm sorry. It's only on the actual audio stream. No, nothing with video this week. Sorry. All right. So, what the hell? Are we ready, Marnie? You think we can pull this off?
Maybe.
We'll make it.
Maybe.
Look, Al didn't do any research for his shit either, so we'll be fine.
I have a theme going here.
I like it when you do themes.
What does that mean? You have a theme?
No, I like it.
It's like a theme party.
Every story is very similar in some one way.
Well, we'll figure it out. It feels weird because I don't have to do any video swapping. I just have to just play a song and we go into our shit. I don't have to do anything. It's a miracle. It's a true blue spectacle. A miracle is you. Woo! All right.
Somebody out one more time and we can go all the way.
7:32, it's the show on Tuesday night. We're going to talk about some various stories and things that we're going to make up to, so what the hell. A woman, 83 years old, beats an intruder with a cane.
Peanut butter and jelly? Racist?
Cemetery visitor finds a man actually buried alive.
A white supremacist is 14% black.
A pianist faces 7 years for practicing too much.
Sarah Palin's a moron.
A local magazine classifies the show cast as nobodies.
He didn't expect to win.
Oh, and an artist nails his nuts to the ground in protest. These and many more wonderful attributes coming up. Oh, and whatever that song was that played
that's
after.
That's Huey Lewis.
Oh,
Huey Lewis.
We can't have that.
And the news.
And the news.
It was the power of love. How funny that it was. It's the news followed by the news intro. Isn't that funny? Oh, because I typed in news. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to figure out iTunes one day. Well, as if Moscow doesn't have enough things going on. You know, I've heard, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, I've heard that Olympics coming up very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
February-ish.
Hopefully that's going to go well for them, even though most of the people, especially the ice skaters, gay. A Russian performance artist recently nailed his nuts to the ground outside Moscow's Red Square in protest over Russia's police state as the country marked National Police Day. A video online shows a naked, I'm not going to even try to pronounce the name, something with ski at the end, sitting on Russia's most famous...
Just call him Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, I'm gonna play Laura's
Ski,
theme.
Right, Doctor Zhivago Ski.
It shows him sitting on the most famous square just outside the Kremlin on Sunday afternoon after literally nailing his nuts to the ground.
Nope.
Police first took him to a hospital, then they took him into custody.
Yeah, because that's exactly what you're not supposed to do. That's the gay propaganda.
Oh my God. So the video online shows him. There is censored video, but there's also uncensored video that's rather graphic that literally shows him naked sitting on the ground with his junk tapped. Standing like stuff, he built things right. Interfax News Agency said that the court dismissed the charges of what they call petty hooliganism. I don't know how that... Is that just a translation from Russian to English? I don't know what...
Hooliganism.
Oh, my God, he's got some... It sounds like something from Ireland. Oh, you've got some hooliganism.
Hooliganism.
Yes, you nailed your nuts to the ground, did you? Oh, for God's sakes. They did release him on Monday on his own recognizance. But this guy, apparently he has a history of self-mutilating stunts.
Oh, God, he's a cutter.
Yeah. He apparently back in 2012... sewed his mouth shut in a protest of, remember the girls that were, the band was called Pussy Riot?
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
In protest of their...
They're still in hard labor.
One of the girls was last week transferred to a new Siberian prison. That sounds horrible.
But apparently in protest of their imprisonment in 2012, he sewed his mouth shut. But wow, I can't imagine driving a nail through... Nope. Well, anything, let alone that. Jesus Christ, that's crazy.
Sincerely.
I saw the picture of it, and it said, click on this for more or for video. And really? I couldn't because I just didn't.
Ow.
I was like, I don't even have nuts, but it just.
You got the sympathy out.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't even look at it.
No, that's terrifying.
Oh, can you imagine who had to try to pull that nail out?
No.
This is going to hurt. You don't care.
Yeah. But I wonder if you have
done enough, you're fine.
Like, is something with your body, you know, there are people who don't feel pain, right? Because how are you going to sew your mouth shut and then nail your nuts to the floor? Like, that is not...
Wasn't the same day.
Well, it's not like he could... Well, it's not like he could yell,
ouch. But how do you do that? Or either you're really fucked up on drugs or alcohol.
Could be either,
right?
Yes.
Or maybe you're just really clinically insane and you don't care.
Well, the story did say a little bit later that once he's fully recovered, they are going to give him a mental analysis.
Yeah. You have to imagine.
Might be time. Self-mutilation's a problem.
God. Yeah. Yuck.
I mean, I stand with him in his, I hold his beliefs on both of those issues, but I'm just going to say that.
You're not
people.
Nailing your tits to a wall or something, right?
I'm just going to tell people. I disagree with what the government
is doing. I was thinking of an appendage that might be able to be nailed to something.
Like a long nail.
Yeah. Oh, there's that.
Oh,
Marnie?
So it is. Portland schools.
Start your theme.
There's a Portland school that's declaring PB&J sandwiches racist.
What?
Oh,
seriously.
I have not heard this story at all.
The article that
is Kool-Aid on the list too?
By Ned Hepburn is one of... No, seriously.
I would think...
Is one of the funniest things that I had ever read.
Okay.
Today, in White People Ruin Everything News,
they do.
A Portland school board has said that peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are racist.
Okay.
Right-wing blogs like the Breitbart Report and Glenn Beck's The Blaze are actually salivating at the mouth, probably because sandwiches are delicious. Due to the fact that this is a legitimate example of political correctness going too far.
They are delicious.
And woo, doesn't like people being overly politically correct. And who doesn't? Everyone, ever, in the entire world is too politically correct. So apparently the issue has something to do with white privilege.
Okay.
Like white bread.
To my knowledge, it says it here, as a card-carrying white person since 1984, means that we get Starbucks on our birthday and 20% off at certain Banana Republic locations. What it actually means is that white people are more privileged, born into more privilege simply by being white, which sadly is somewhat true. Racism is still alive and well in America, and most white people, for the most part, have no conscious knowledge of their privilege. But that doesn't mean you should bring sandwiches into this fight, because it goes on and on all about white privilege. They made no sense. That's why this is making no sense.
Right.
That's why I loved this guy. So, this is what they said. This Dr. Vernice Gutierrez, a principal with Oregon's public schools, has become convinced that America's white culture negatively influences educators' worldview and the manner in which they teach their students. So, apparently Everybody Loves Raymond is totally racist as well. For instance, last year a teacher in the district presented a lesson that included a reference to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Gutierrez says that by using sandwiches as an illustration, the teacher was engaged in a very subtle form of racism.
Oh, my God.
What about Somalia or Hispanic or Somali or Hispanic students who might not eat sandwiches?
Okay.
Asked Gutierrez, according to the Portland Tribune. Another way would be to say, Americans eat peanut butter and jelly. Do you have anything like that? Let them tell you. Maybe they eat torta or pita. Or fuck you. Are you kidding me? This was a thing.
We're wasting.
School board...
Now, I'm going to have to raise my voice here. Welcome to America. Enjoy our peanut butter and jelly.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it's real good.
And
it tastes awesome.
It's the poor people food.
Right.
But it's also tasty.
It's delicious.
I mean, you could be a billionaire and still enjoy a PB&J.
Oh, I just want to tell you, I still have it for dinner probably twice a week.
Yeah.
Because I have diabetes.
I see the point they're trying to make. It says they said we should be more conscious of others. But they are going about it with an incredibly bad way, concentrating on a leaf when there's a goddamn forest fire all around them. Maybe they do eat a torta or a pita, but Jesus fucking Christ, we are talking about a goddamn sandwich here.
That's insane.
Isn't that nuts? This is the kind of liberal brainwashing that makes people hate liberals. It's the same thought process that the GOP uses, like imposing one's religious beliefs onto everyone else and then calling it infringing on religious rights when we ask you to stop being a fucking asshole. We, as the hopefully more sensible party, shouldn't be imposing clueless, blindlessly self-unaware rhetoric onto others. I'm all for the bipartisan talk in this country, but making sandwiches a part of the debate, fuck no.
No, I agree. That's
ridiculous.
That's bullshit.
Although I did work for a Hispanic guy who used to, that's awesome,
yeah,
who really used to laugh because every day, it was actually when we were working at the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And it's right across the street from Saks, WM Saks, the sandwich shop, which is literally the best thing you can put in your mouth.
Okay.
And we would go there every single day and we'd ask him every single day, hey, Luis Heredia, you want a sandwich? And he's like, what the fuck with you white people in your sandwiches? And we used to laugh about it because he's like, why do you guys eat sandwiches every goddamn day? I wouldn't have even known that sandwich was like a white thing.
Right.
Lest I had been called out on it.
It's more an American thing. I don't think you can honestly say white because bread is kind of universal.
Yeah. I know a lot of black people who eat peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what did
and
not
you,
make
you
any
know
sense
you're with,
to me.
You know you're with a sad crowd when they break out like the Wonder Bread.
But the fact that people would get together on a school board and waste any kind of time
to discuss
that
fire
kind of
all
thing.
Of those people.
Sure, if you want to bring
Seriously.
A torta, that's just better. It's just thicker, softer bread, but it's still a fucking sandwich.
Yeah, it's still a sandwich.
Right.
And they won't get the sugar beaties as fast because it's got meat on it most of the time.
Yeah, unless you're eating at Tortas del Rey. Here's a plug to a little shop in Phoenix that literally piles every single version of pork, including like the pork fat grease that you can possibly put. Like ham steak, sliced ham, hot dogs, pork, like pork loin, and then like grease. Put it on some bun, put it on some bread with bacon.
Oh, and,
thank
of course.
God. I was waiting for bacon.
I was wondering. Yeah. We were missing something.
Literally. I was like 5 minutes in that story. I hadn't heard the word bacon.
It's one of the best things you can ever eat. It's called Tortas del Rey.
Where
Look
is
it up.
Where is it?
Oh, shit. It's like on...
Ballpark it.
7th Street.
Oh.
And like Dunlap-ish
Oh, it's
area.
Up north.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's kind of a north. Anyway, Tortas del Rey, it's the bomb.
Nice.
Okay.
Side note.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really good sandwich.
It's like salt and grease. I'm fine with both
it's so
of those.
Good.
Absolutely.
Have also, you ever had butter and sugar together?
Yes.
Delicious.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Well, to most people, noise pollution is either this show or a jet engine roaring over their head. But for one Spanish woman, it was simply a neighbor playing the piano more softly than a spoken conversation. The woman has taken her neighbors in the apartment below her, a 27-year-old pianist and her parents, to court. And now, get this, speaking of wasting time, prosecutors want to send all three to jail for 7 years on charges of psychological damage and noise pollution. In a country known for its exuberant noises, I mean, for God's sakes, it's Madrid, Spain. The case has raised eyebrows all over the place. Neighbors have often complained about street and bar noise in Spain, but prosecutors seeking jail time for something as simple as practicing the piano is completely unheard of, especially since that musician is now a professional concert pianist.
Oh my gosh.
So apparently the claim is that this woman suffered from this noise pollution from 03 to 07 due to the 5-day-a-week practice and rehearsal regimen that her neighbor had to endure to get to, you know, to hone her craft, obviously.
Sure.
The woman is now 27 years old. She denies that she played at home that often, saying that she took regular classes in other towns. She claims that she mostly practiced at home on weekends. But seriously, if you've got somebody who is already to that level and they're on the brink of concert pianist, enjoy the concert and shut up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm sure she's not playing chopsticks right. on or what I or the thumbed down version of Laura's theme from Dr. Zhivago that I can play. Yeah, she's Zhivago's playing something theme. Lovely, we're I'm
like,
sure.
We're like twice into Somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Laura's theme.
So I think it was Renee in L.A. had neighbors in his courtyard that were opera singers. Oh. And they would practice quite a bit with their window open. And I have to tell you, although they were trained and they were good and they were quite possibly working somewhere in the field of opera, when you were hungover at 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning...
And then...
I wanted to go all kinds of Zapruder filming okay. those too.
Oh. What I'm curious though about that story is that 5 years really is that's how long you wanted to complain after what did he say from 03 to 07?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it says.
You wanted to, for, whatever, 4 years, you wanted to just really make sure that it was affecting you before you took him to court.
Now, yeah. The funny thing to add to all this, because you know they spend numerous hours and time and money to prove their case. The prosecutor said tests by local authorities found that the sound levels made by the piano were repeatedly up to 10 decibels higher than the 30 decibel limit that had been laid down in the area for musical instruments in the town. The city authorities asked the family several times to either stop the piano playing or soundproof the room.
And that's just friendly. Just to a little soundproofing.
Yeah.
I could
the family,
see that.
According, now I don't know if they have what proof they have, but the family does say that they did soundproof the room, but the complaints continued. I think they just had a bitch that lived next door,
oh, yeah,
is
yeah.
really what the problem was. Yeah. Just a guess. Not sure. But anyway, the Justice Tribunal spokesman said that the trial will end on November 15th and the verdict will be issued later or at a later date. So that's upcoming.
Do they all have lawyers?
I didn't say it. Didn't say in the story.
Avogados.
Well, of course they do because it showed the footage I saw shows them all walking in with all. They're all lawyered up. I mean, Lerner and Rowe is down there in Spain, in Madrid, Spain.
Goldberg and
cashing in,
or
cashing
that god awful bankruptcy. Have you
any,
guys
any of them?
No. You remember that there was a commercial a long time ago for like rug carpet cleaning something that just played over and over in your head.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but like, I know the lawyer. Are you taking me out? Oswald
yes.
called.
Oh, that bitch.
Oh, my God.
Oswald called the right call
yes.
for you.
Yeah.
I just look at her and feel like she should be like drunk on the bathroom
yeah.
floor. How is she a lawyer? She just looks
mine is the woman that
like
sings
a bar
about
skank.
The woman that sings about 980 to 300
Empire.
That's it. She's no, just so, Empire.
Okay, there's that. No, he's thinking of the.
The
he's
flooring.
Thinking, yeah. Yeah.
Tile and flooring.
Yeah.
That the woman blonde, wants the, to be famous
no,
singer.
I think my,
I went as a Zapruder them.
My theory on her is that she, you're right, she's a frustrated, she never could make it big. She married somebody who had a flooring company and she's like, well, I'll sing the jingles.
Yeah.
And that's
all
what she
them.
Does. Yeah. It's, what is that? Call 800, whatever it is. I forget,
I can't
but yeah.
Think of
I hate
it.
Those commercials.
Me too.
Good
she
boy.
Is
Call 800 Express.
No, that's a different guy. That's out of Chicago. That's a different.
That's horrible too, but they're all horrible.
Express Flooring and Tile, that's her.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, because Empire's Express, the other guy, and he
yeah.
passed away.
Yeah.
The guy who was the spokesperson.
They haven't stopped away. That song.
No, they still use that song.
They still use
fuckers.
It.
Yeah. She is.
I want to call that number and say, he's dead, and hang up.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, but that one drives me insane. I can't stand it. But any lawyer. But the one that you're talking about, the blonde chick.
Yes.
What drives me nuts.
Oswald Law.
I will hate this until the day that anybody that's... She doesn't have to know much. She's a lawyer. She can retain stuff. If you are looking dead into a camera and all you're doing is that you're reading all of the script like I'm doing right now to you, God, it hates that.
Yeah.
Learn your lines, do your commercial, or get somebody else to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, she's bad. She just looks like a bar skank.
The danger.
Exactly. You're 100%
right. I don't
right.
get it. It's weird. Yeah. I'm not going to hire you
no.
to represent
no,
me in court.
She's going to sue us because she's a lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually true. We actually just kidding. We like you. Yeah. OswaldLaw.com.
Nice.
I don't know.
Oswald.
Yeah.
T with a T,
thank you
right?
for clarifying.
Hey, speaking of lawyering up on the Talking Dead this week, somebody started to sing a jingle and they yelled at them. They're like, we don't want to pay for that.
I haven't seen that one yet.
And so, I mean, here it is. The Talking Dead is too cheap. They've got the highest ratings on TV, and
they can't pay for the jingles.
They can't pay, and I can't remember if it was a jingle or an actual song. But the guy started to sing something. He's like, "Stop, stop."
Is that a live show?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, why is the Talking Dead? It sounds like something that's unscripted that they should have edited out.
But the Talking Dead comes on right after the Walking Dead.
It's like like the guy Andy Cohen who does the Bravo shows.
What happens on Zombies.
Yeah. Oh, and they discuss the show.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I understand that.
For the lonely people that watch at home alone, you can pretend to have a conversation.
I haven't watched this one yet.
I believe Japan has just entered the room. Yay! I believe it's Danny from Okinawa, Japan. Danny, if you're or Donnie, is it Donnie?
Donnie,
if you would, in the chat room, let us know when you are coming to town to Phoenix so that I can make sure that I have the studio prepared to have extra mics ready for you. But he's coming.
We'll have your favorite bevy.
Oh, of course, we can do that too. So send us a message in the chat room if you would. Marnie, are you ready?
I am.
Go for it, my dear.
Well, white supremacists suck.
White supremacists. I know. They get a couple extra vowels.
Well, they suck.
Yeah.
Either way. And there's a gentleman, well, to be polite, in Leith, North Dakota.
Oh, he's up north, for God's sakes. Oh.
Way up north.
All right.
Yeah,
wow.
Way up north. And what he would like to do is turn the town of Leith into a white nationalist community.
A Wonder Bread community.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Well, leave the PB&J out of it.
Right, he wants just the bread.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
So he moves in next door. He bought this property, this house for $8,600. No septic tank or running water.
$8,600?
$8,600. No septic tank, no running water. There are about 20 people that live in Leith, by the way.
All right.
It's not big.
Sure. Got it. All right.
But he moved into next door to the only black guy.
Oh, the town black.
Sure.
The token.
The token.
Got it. Oh.
Yeah. And that token. Well, and this guy's neat. You know, do you like Hitler? He's like, yes, I do. Yeah, he's wonderful. This Craig Cobb. Craig Cobb is his name. So he's wanted in Canada on charges of promoting hatred and whatnot. That's
when the
weird.
Whitest country in the northern free world is looking for you.
It's not good. No, it's not good. So it just so happens that he moved in next to Bobby Harper, as I mentioned, the only black guy in the area, who also happens to be on the Leith City Council.
Oh,
there are 20 of them in the whole town.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's on the Leith
City Council.
City
Council's about a quarter of them.
Harper's wife, Bobby's wife, Cheryl, who happens to be white, because, you know, I said that there was only one. She's also on the City Council. So there's two.
I was told there'd be no math, but that was easier than I thought.
Anyway, of course, Cobb refers to her as filthy race-mixing white woman, you know. Oh. But these two don't plan to go anywhere, which is fantastic.
Now, when they vote for city council...
Right, they vote for each other.
They just wait all day for the other 20 votes. All right, we got 100% of the vote in.
I don't know. Now, what we'd have to
look up... It's 11 a.m.
Katie June, if you want to look it up, how many people are actually on that city council, maybe it's 20. I don't know.
Which is all even better.
Yeah.
We're going to vote today. Vote for yourself.
Right. Can you tell me the name of the town again?
Let's do it. Leith, but it's L-E-I... L-E-I.
T-H.
Yes.
Yep.
North Dakota.
L-E-I-T.
Got it.
So I, if all 20 of them are there, then, you know, really, Craig Cobb's the only one who's not on the city council, apparently.
He could be looting throughout the city.
Exactly.
They're all in town.
Anyway, because of, you know, his views, though, poor guy, things suck for him now because he's lost his construction job and, you know, everything else for this Craig
Cobb. Well, once you build the 20 houses, aren't you done?
Where are you going to go?
Two barns.
Just
20 houses, two barns.
Start over at the beginning and redevelop the city again. You just keep going.
You just make it better and better and better.
Over and over.
So Tricia Cobb.
Doubles as the town arsonist.
Tricia Cobb.
Well, she's
Cobb.
Lovely.
Lovely woman.
Lovely, lovely. Yeah. And not to be racist.
No.
To point out.
No.
Black.
She's of the darker persuasion.
Oh, that's his mom.
Nope.
No, that's.
Nope. So Craig Cobb, they can't figure out why. She's a talk show host, actually. Tricia Cobb is a talk show host. And they can't figure out why, but Craig Cobb agreed to take a DNA test for this talk show host. And, you know, because he wants that white nationalist community, and he's fine, except he's 14% African.
Oh, there you
awesome.
Go.
That's how it came back.
Mm-hmm.
And he flipped out, immediately dismissed the scientific evidence, the statistical noise.
It's all good until it turns on you.
Statistical noise.
Yeah. Right.
Sweetheart, Goddard told him, you have a little black in you. Which I thought was great.
Which he'd only heard in prison before.
Right, exactly. That made it right. New. Oil and water don't mix, he said, and it was drowned out by the audience's laughter and cheers. But, it, you know, he says, we will become the majority. There's no doubt. Do not ask for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for Leith.
Now, the question I have is, really? Now, her, the talk show host, her last name is Cobb as well, right?
No, Goddard.
Trisha Goddard.
Trisha
Goddard.
I thought you said
Trisha Cobb is what you said.
Yeah, I think
we thought they were related somehow.
So I thought that there was going to come some delineation between the two. That, like, oh, we find out.
That's why I said, oh my God, that's his mom.
Yeah, right.
My bad. I'm so sorry. No.
And he's a really classy looking fellow.
Oh, he looks homeless. He looks homeless, doesn't he?
He's a good looking guy.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh, a delight. And I love the way he's letting his roots grow in.
He is.
It's all the rage.
You know what? Don't dye your hair every week.
No.
Don't do it. It's bad for you.
No touch up.
And with no running water and. Or septic,
no
tank,
septic
you're
system.
Going to look like shit.
Yeah, well.
And clearly no conditioner.
None.
Why start now?
I know. Yes,
he'll have to go get the balsam wood and see what he can do with that.
Doug. Al, you said looked like you were going to throw another comment in regards to this story. Were you saying something or did you?
Just can't get over that hair.
Okay, I thought there was something you were going to interject.
Oh, no. Blondie's back. She's making a new album. I don't know what made me think of her. But
wow.
The facial hair.
Coming up later in entertainment. now, here's a story that made me think of you and Katie when I read this today earlier. A Brazilian man was pulled from a grave alive after a woman visiting the cemetery saw a hand surging up through the ground, and she freaked out.
And I didn't read further than that, but I've been interested in that story.
An unidentified woman said that she was visiting a family member's grave when she heard a noise and saw the ground moving before seeing the hand. Well, what follows the hand? Well, the man's head coming up out of the ground.
Oh, Lord.
She says, quote, I was terrified to see a man who I thought was dead trying to get out of the grave. She tells the Daily Mail. The woman said that she fled and contacted police, who initially thought she was crazy, and they chose not to believe her. She then rallied cemetery workers, who then found the man to be alive, called officials, and they showed up. And there is video of them actually unearthing him and pulling him up out of the grave. Police in I think it's called Sao Paulo, said they believe he was involved in a fight near the cemetery and was then buried by his attackers while he was unconscious. He is currently in a hospital and will also go through some various testing once he recovers. Jeez. So can you imagine?
Absolutely not.
Literally, a fresh grave that you realize somebody has been recently buried and you're at an adjacent grave mourning or saying, you know, your whatever to your family member, and all of a sudden you hear,
no,
and a hand just comes up to the ground. I would pay money to watch the two of you freak out.
Because if I had a gun,
I'd be already just put a stake through his head.
Thank you. If I had a gun or a knife or nothing, I would find something and I would stab him in the head, literally. And I thought about this today because I think I have to stop
today.
Yes, okay. I have to stop watching The Walking Dead because everywhere I go, I think people are going to just like turn at the drop of a hat, and I am now ready to just start like stabbing people, and I'm going to go to jail because at some point I'm just going to stab somebody that looks at Fries like a zombie, and I'm going to go to jail.
In defense of those people, in defense of those people, some people at Fries do.
I might stab them in the head.
Go for the headshot.
Yeah, well, every time.
Isn't that
and then we're always worried about
don't
noise.
Don't waste your time.
So you got to use the knife.
Knife, machete.
Stab them, yeah.
Damn it all. I would have killed the guy.
Is this a game of Clue? Take them at Fries with the machete.
Yeah, always. Yeah, exactly. Always in the head, always with the machete. And
in the grave under Pete Moss with the steak in his
Fries.
Heart.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That is scary, Clayton. That would be very scary.
Oh, I'm sure it was. It sure is. But I would love to have seen the look on the police face when like, what? You see what happening?
Right.
There's a man coming out of the grave.
Oh.
All right. Yeah. Where's your
let's go.
Been drinking,
now.
Matilda. Right. Yeah. There you go.
Let's go back to the truck and drink some blood.
Go back to Florida, dear.
So there's a gentleman named Dave Wilson.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah, Dave. Dave is down in Houston.
Okay.
And he didn't expect to win, he says. So what happened here is that he was running for office.
Oh.
And he was elected in an African-American district. this is what I meant by a theme.
Yeah.
If you haven't caught on yet.
Yeah. Oh. Almost sensing it. Almost.
So he was elected in this African-American district. You know, I'd always said it was a long shot. But
he's a Swede? What the hell?
Nope, I didn't expect to win.
Oh, somebody's white, grandfather.
White, white oh, he looks guy. Harmless, yeah.
Looks harmless. He did win, ousting a 24-year incumbent, not because of the strength of his ideas, but because he led voters to believe he was black.
How? How did he do that?
Well, he
can speak jive.
Well, he
Barbara Billingsley.
Yes, exactly. He's hip. Yep.
Pardon me, I speak jive.
I speak jive. Excuse me, I speak jive.
Wilson is a gleeful political troublemaker.
Uh-huh.
He printed direct mail pieces strongly implying that he was black. So what he did was he took a lot of pictures from, you know, Google Images or whatever, and it was of black people smiling. And their smiling faces, and he just lifted them off different websites. And he captioned with the words, "Please vote for our friend and neighbor, Dave Wilson." So nowhere was Dave Wilson in there.
And nobody knew him. Nobody has once ever met the guy.
And there was no debate. There was nothing.
No door knocking. Right. No phone calls. Like, nothing? No commercial.
It's an off-year election.
Yeah, it is.
Clearly.
It was to the Houston Community College Board. But it didn't matter. It's the idea. No one had any idea and they were voting. So one of his mailers said he was endorsed by Ron Wilson, which is a longtime state representative.
Who's black?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The same but name, he met African American.
But he met Ron Wilson, his brother?
His cousin.
Oh, shit.
I saw that
coming. The fine print beneath the headline said Ron Wilson and Dave Wilson are cousins. A reference to one of his relatives living in Iowa.
Sure, but everybody just thought he was the black guy Ron Wilson's cousin.
Absolutely. Nobody pays that close of attention, right? He won by just 26 votes, and his opponent, Bruce Austin, intends to contest the election. For his part,
what are you going to contest,
what are you going to contest, though?
Yeah.
I'm black, and he's not. Damn it,
yeah. He put pictures of black people on his flyer. He didn't say it was him. He didn't say who Ron Wilson was.
But his defense is a little iffy, this Wilson. It says, for his part, Wilson, defending his fraud, says every time a politician talks, he's out there deceiving voters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his defense.
I see.
Yeah. That he is out there you know, he won. He didn't really deceive anybody, according to him. And I have to tell you, I don't know that he's not incorrect.
I mean, shit, he got elected. So.
Yeah, and he had the... He had the
disclaimers.
He didn't
do anything illegal.
He didn't say.
Shame on the voters.
Shame on the voters. Absolutely. I thought that was really interesting.
That's awesome.
He's as white as my family members back home.
Yeah.
Look a lot like that.
Yeah.
And I thought,
well, he looks like Dick Cheney.
Yep.
For the, I mean, less evil, but.
Less evil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Less evil.
But very
less
similar. Evil.
But the similarity
It's Dick
is
Cheney without the Darth Vader mask.
And the gun. And then he was in Texas.
And the bullet holes.
But he only shoots his friends, so you're lucky there.
That's right. That's very true.
It's just after 8 o'clock. It's the end of hour two, beginning of hour one, coming back at you just moments from now. It's where we start the drinking game. If you're just joining us audio only, we apologize. There is no video this evening. We had some audio problems. But hey, you get to listen to us, and we... Again, according to Marnie, we all appear thinner on the audio-only stream. Hell, it works out for me. I'm not mad.
I know. I like it.
Again, Kuwait, New Zealand, United States, Malaysia, Israel, and Japan all listening live to us right now. Thank you for listening. Join us in the chat room and let us know what you're doing, who you are, and why are you wasting time listening to us. We're glad you're here, though. It's 8:02. We'll be back in just moments on Q Talk America, continuing with the show with Clayton McKee. The drinking game just moments away.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. 8:03 is our time. It's a Tuesday night. We are live in Studio C, coming to you from the heart of Central Phoenix, where the weather is lovely. A little warmer today than we had planned, but We're not shoveling snow. I'm not mad at that.
Oh, my sister is. They had their first snowfall last night.
Yeah, I saw that.
Buffalo, New York.
Yep.
Good Lord. Screw that. I'm glad. I'm thrilled to not have to deal with
still
that.
Still Niagara Falls, but near Buffalo.
Mm. Oh. I saw a truck in traffic.
Still Niagara. Still from Niagara.
I saw a truck today in traffic that was from Buffalo, New York, and I was going to take a picture for you, and I thought, you don't really fucking care.
Yeah.
Niagara. We are in studio.
I still left.
as we are every week with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins, rounding out our cast. And as we do at the beginning of each and every second hour, we do what we call the drinking game.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Ooh.
Huey Lewis in the news again?
No, it's not.
I got excited.
Does Huey want to come in? I feel like he's pounding at my rectum.
Oh, no, actually, that was Crying at the Discotheque by Al Cassell. No,
that's just, after Huey's been at you.
Yeah, right. There's that. Yeah. Alfred, what are you going to bring us this week?
Well, in honor of Marnie's unfortunate karaoke experience, and I wish we had the actual noise that we could all like just go to. I'm going to say gong.
Gong.
Nice. Oh, that's good.
Oh, I don't have a gong.
Do you miss the gong? You used to.
I used tonight, didn't I?
Gong karaoke's fun.
Oh, we used to do gong karaoke.
That
in fact,
was very fun.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We used to do it at the Marys. Yes,
and
we did.
I used to love to watch the people keep paying to keep singing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a delight.
Yeah, that was fun.
If I just give you 20 bucks.
Was that for charity?
Yes, actually, all the money did go to charity.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was never gonged. I just want to point that out.
Of course. Well, if you broke into a woman's home in Booktel, Ohio,
you got gonged.
It's European.
You'd be beaten to death. Not to death, exactly. Authorities in southeastern Ohio say 83-year-old woman drove an intruder out of her house by beating him repeatedly with her cane. Athens County Sheriff Pat Kelly said it happened Monday around noon in Athens County. Kelly says Rosella Brown was watching TV, not a black woman. Rosella Brown was watching TV when she noticed someone crawling across her kitchen floor. She encountered the intruder in her bedroom and, according to a sheriff's report, immediately and vigorously began beating the hell out of him with her cane. He stole $100 off of their dresser and held onto the money as she repeatedly beat him, quote, everywhere I could possibly hit him.
I like her.
She says, I never even
spunky.
I want to send Rosella a nice letter.
I never even thought of calling 911. I just could chase him. I just wanted to chase him out. She tells WCHM-TV, whenever I could find a hit him on the head, on the back, I just started swinging. I didn't care where I hit.
Did he ever stand up and start walking, or did he continue the crawling?
To run away, or is he just crawling fast?
She never got a good look at him. Deputies have only described the man as school-aged. Her husband, who was not home at the time, was just happy to know that he says, I can make another $100. I can't make another wife. They'd been married 63 years.
Yeah, you're not Geppetto, fucker.
That's so cute.
They'd been married 63 years. They were a very cute older couple.
So if they'd been married 63 years, how old is she again?
80. Hang on. She's old. She's 83 years
older.
Old.
Okay, so... So she's 83, yeah. So and, everyone's and, fucking school age
and,
to her.
And, had, yeah. And 2 years ago had suffered a stroke and is not at full, she's not at full mobility. Sure. But so, she got up and whacked the shit out of
so
him.
So this was a really slow fucking school age kid, really.
Apparently, yeah.
Apparently.
A little slow.
Well, yeah. Maybe...
Well, he never stood
been
up.
70.
I can't.
I know.
I know who the winner is.
He went in crawling.
Yeah, and barely made it out alive.
Parents shoved him out of the chair.
When asked if she would do the same thing another time, what did you do, Doily? What are you doing?
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't know what that was.
Doily, doily was really my word for saying until I thought of gong.
Oh. Shoved him out of the chair.
Doily crawl down the street.
When asked if she would change anything if this sort of happened to her again, she said, "I would just swing harder."
At a girl.
I like it a lot.
I like her too.
I love it. That was so funny.
She may be mobility challenged, but she's a hell of a gal.
She's on it. She's on it.
She absolutely is.
Absolutely.
I love it. There's a someone I would like to introduce you to.
Oh, we love meeting new people.
We've made so many new friends over on your side of the table.
I know. There's so
mostly black people.
No. Well, no, they've all been horrible white people. Yeah.
Yeah. Really horrible
if been
white people.
Attention.
I would like you to meet Mr. Balls.
Spell that.
I like him.
B-A-L-L-S.
Oh, really? Okay. Uh-huh. I thought maybe there was a Z.
The traditional spelling.
Yeah. Cause
like it sounds.
He's Brazil's disturbing new testicular cancer mascot.
Oh, God. I have seen this.
Oh, my God.
I have seen this. I forgot.
What country? Oh, no.
Yeah.
What country's testicles look like that?
Have you been to Brazil?
But I'm not going now.
Well, think of what else that's around that size.
Go ahead and add that to the things you just can't fucking make up.
No, yeah. Ouch, ick.
So they created this mascot, and obviously it's beyond disturbing.
Couple steps. Three steps past.
Way past.
Oh, there's disturbing back there.
And Mr. Balls didn't even shave.
No. I think I think the little curly hairs are an especially nice touch. Senor Testiculo. That's what they call him there.
Stop it.
Senor Testiculo.
Oh.
Is that children that he's around?
It is the wide-eyed, dual-toothed, rosy-cheeked, mole-sporting scrotum.
And moles.
That will cause a lifetime of nightmares for anyone who lays eyes on him.
Dual-toothed. I'm going to need to see a vagina again just to see if I want to go back.
Dual-toothed.
He is dual-toothed.
Oh, my God.
And I like that he's got a comb-over.
I like
the comb-over.
But
can you imagine the guy whose job that is to be the Balls? Like, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a bagger at the grocery store.
I'm
Mr. Balls.
Yo soy Señor Testiculo.
You have to put that shit on your body.
¿Tiene miedo?
No. On his resume, it says promotional mascot.
Anyway, just too much.
That's funny.
A couple, exactly.
Yeah. You can't, there's nothing more.
Exactly. Disturbing is 30 feet behind me.
Beyond disturbing. So that is Brazil's new mascot.
And what are they trying, besides getting you off the cock, what are they trying to get you to do?
Check your nuts.
For what?
Testicular cancer.
Right.
It's like a self-exam.
That weird mole.
Testicular cancer.
And it's better to do it in the shower when it's warm water.
See this weird mole right here, kids? Get that checked out.
Yeah. And if you have two teeth growing out of them, run.
I know. If you're
super scared.
If your nutsack has the two teeth from the twin that you consumed in the womb.
But if Uncle Paco wants to check him for you, call mom.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Gong.
Oh, gong.
Didn't think of that, did you?
Nope. And didn't want to. Thanks.
Senor Testiculo.
Senor
Testiculo. Hombre in el humo, yeah.
La comida.
Oh, God.
Now, on the final...
Where's that kitchen?
Our final little story, which is kind of... It's a little bit more of a local story, but I think it happens in more places than not because everybody and their brother has been given a computer and the ability to write and publish stuff. Now, we do not hold any hostages in the belief that this show... We use little knowledge. We Google everything. Not half of it's wrong. Some of it's right. We don't know. We don't really care. But we are not held to the high standards of journalism. And if Buddy Early was here, he'd have something else to say about that, too.
Wait, I will give an exception. I was almost always correct, except for not knowing Romney's name on election night.
Okay.
Those facts were all correct. I just had all the names wrong.
I'm not saying that.
Robomny.
We Google, we research, we find stuff, but we are really not held to a high standard for accuracy here. Though we do give out some accurate information.
Sure.
I agree.
From time to time.
What did I call the sheriff though? That was my favorite.
Oh God.
Oh, Arpaio, you fucked that up somehow.
Oh.
Arapaho. Yeah.
I think it was Sheriff Arapaho.
Well,
what are you talking about?
It's a local magazine here in town called Ion AZ, Ion Arizona. And I believe, though I enjoy the boys that publish it, they're great. They did a wonderful spread for us. But I think sometimes when you hire string writers or whoever they get to come in and contribute, they don't always vet their facts or they don't know anything about facts. I'm not sure which one it is. They recently did a story, and for those of you who are following anything to do with current TV, Sean Hayes, who was Jack on Will and Grace, now has a new show called Sean Saves the World.
Yeah.
It's not the best show ever produced in the world, but it's a funny show. It's a mm-hmm. cute show. And the cast is rounded out by, of course, Sean Hayes. I forget the gentleman's name who was on Reno 911, who's his boss.
Oh, he's funny.
Very, very funny. Hilty.
Megan Hilty.
Yeah. Megan Hilty from Smash, also from Broadway. Linda Lavin, who was Alice in the TV series, Alice, who's also a Broadway recording artist. She's an established actress. Well, he starts the review of this show by saying that basically it's Sean Hayes and everybody else is nobodies. Mm-hmm. And it just sat wrong with me.
No, and he just says that, right? That's what he says. And a cast of nobodies.
And it just sat very little.
Wait, and who said that?
Whoever the kid is who's writing the IONIZ television reviews. I don't know who it is. I'm going to guess.
Thomas Lennon, by the way, is the.
Thomas Lennon.
The actor who plays.
That's the guy from. Yeah. That's so funny.
He plays the boss. Very, very funny. But I just was a little. It's funny that it sat so wrong with me that he just. I've seen the show. I only recognize Sean Hayes. So everybody else is nobody to me. Right. Because he's probably 19 to 20 years old who doesn't have any idea who Linda Lavin is. Because she really has been out of mainstream television for, God, but probably 20, 25 years.
A real quick Google search could help you.
Absolutely. So, in his defense, if there is much, Al reads further down the story, which I actually got pissed off right in the first three sentences, and I really didn't go very much further into it. He does apparently find Google or Bing or something and realizes, oh, she was in a show, and then adds, parenthetically.
And honestly, he's like, and Linda Lavin of TV's Alice and Megan Hilty of Smash, and I'm like, okay, in the first two sentences, you said they were nobodies.
Right.
But now here later in the same paragraph, you're saying their credits and where you would know them from.
Horribly
Which
written.
Are like really big time things.
Right.
And Megan Hilty is also a mega Broadway superstar.
Right, yeah.
So maybe she was on one television. Look at me getting all pissed.
Yeah, no. See? Yeah.
But maybe she was on one show, which I thought was superb, but didn't succeed after, you know, a couple seasons. But she's mega successful.
Right.
On Broadway.
Right. So anyway, I just thought it was funny. It annoyed me that somebody just would, off the cuff, just write somebody off because they didn't know who they were. Now, granted, I do it all the time with other people, but I am not held to a standard. And certainly, if you think that this is a standard of journalism excellence here, you are sorely mistaken.
Yeah. We're telling you right up front.
May I just?
You please. Certainly may.
Please.
When you
feel
go
free to, gong.
To that's exact gong. When you go to IMDb,
mm-hmm.
my bio.
Al
Tony,
loves that.
I know he does.
Al
that's
loves
why.
That.
I check it daily.
Tony Award for Best Actress in a Play.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay, she's
Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Featured Actress.
This
in
is
play.
Linda Lavin.
Golden Globe Award for Best Performance by an Actress in a Television Series, Musical, or Comedy.
And I think she has an Emmy, doesn't she?
Oh, it does not.
Primetime Emmy Award.
It doesn't have that listed, but that doesn't. I'm not seeing that right now. But I mean, just the idea, so it's not.
I like how Katie's raising her hand.
Well, because I'm reading what he wrote right here. And he says, I was coming from Will and Grace, I was expecting a lot more. Okay, Will and Grace, including Sean Hayes, were probably
Sean Hayes was definitely unknown.
They were nobodies.
At the time, he came from a Doritos commercial to Will and Grace.
Except for Megan Mullally, they were all
right. They
unknowns.
Were all unknown before
she was Ned and Stacy.
So even if these people were unknowns, to ever become knowns, right?
Right.
Yeah,
but I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah,
that you're
she was Ned and Stacy, and he was Billy's Hollywood screen kiss. And Megan Mullally had a big
she
Broadway
had a career,
credit.
Yeah.
And she had a little. She was minor on TV. She was in the Ellen Burstyn TV show. But her big claim to fame was that she was in Matthew Broderick's How to Succeed in Business without really trying. So all of them had credit. No, she does not have a primetime Emmy.
She was nominated.
She was nominated
for an Emmy.
She was nominated for an Emmy. And she was nominated for a primetime and daytime.
I can't believe she was only nominated once for Alice.
Mm-hmm.
That's surprising.
Yeah, she won a TV Land Award.
That's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
it is.
In some ways, I feel a little bit silly because that is my big hook that I went off this week. But it just hit me wrong. And I realize there are bigger things in the world to go off about. But I just was like, really? you're gonna pan something, but you won't do your research to figure out all this stuff about it. It'd be like me going off on a Nine Inch Nails album. Mm-hmm. I don't know a goddamn thing about any of them except I don't care for the music.
Get them at Home Depot.
But
I've enjoyed being nailed before. Well,
so you know that by 9 inches.
But like, sure, but that like, sounds okay. even better.
All right.
But again,
I mean, I'll get out the gong for that.
To use a musical reference, so many people that. To use like Nine Inch Nails or any of those metal bands, a lot of those musicians, though I don't care for the music that they choose to perform, classically talented, classically trained. They really have an education in music. But it's just that's what they choose to play what they play, and that works for them. Sure. So again, you can't paint with a broad brush and just be like, I don't know who they are. They must be a fucking idiot.
I don't know these people, or I don't like them, but just to,
No, is this a volunteer position?
I don't know. But more than likely,
I think yes.
Okay, it probably is something that's annoying. I mean,
but reach out
some small compensation.
I'm not reach out to the community.
Absolutely. No, I'm not.
There's got to be someone on Facebook who's posting constantly about movies or TV or entertainment. Right. Somewhere on Facebook, you must know someone who's doing it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine where this person is lurking.
No, I just portrayed the ultimate jump on boardedness, because I actually was just saying last week, I don't really like that show either. And look at me now. I'm like, let me tell you what.
Oh, no. And it's not whether or not it's a good or bad show. Well, just that if you're going to write a review of something, know something about what you're doing, or you're just a shitty critic.
Right.
What's
right.
That no one wants to read.
Panning a restaurant that you've never been only because you don't like the decor.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the food must be shitty because it looks like hell. Yeah. No, you can't do that. You've got
I looked through the window.
Right.
And
right.
It looked really bad. Doesn't look like anything I would eat. Yeah. I hate it. It's bad. Don't go.
There's that.
But how many people do we know that are like that?
That's fair.
But they're not.
No, I had a chicken fried steak and the meat was terrible.
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
I've been to a restaurant where someone did that. They were
Come on.
The steak's not good. They chicken fried it. They beat it with an individual life, and then they breaded it and fried it. It was never a steak.
Right.
No, but to complain about the meat quality.
Right, because of a chicken fried steak. Not fair.
Have you had the Salisbury steak? Yeah. That's lovely, too.
Tip your waiter. Similar. She'll be here all weekend.
Blank steak. I'm just going to gong it on principle.
Gong that on principle.
On principle.
That wraps up our headlines. I think it's time for Alan some not well put together entertainment. Ready?
Yeah, so? That's sure.
Here we
it's
go.
Not well put together.
Entertainment!
A couple TV shows got renewed that were like the most obvious things in the world. Stevie Nicks will appear on American Horror Story.
I figured you'd like that.
Zac Efron is less pretty now than he was a day ago. Dallas Buyers Club opens, Blockbuster closes, Ghost will be a TV show, Laura Prepon is coming back to her TV show,
and other stuff.
SeaWorld goes to court, JFK.
Oh, I'm curious to hear this story, because
JFK dies. Well, we'll start with SeaWorld. Fans of...
Breaking news.
If you have some sort of sad, sad cable that you can't afford CNN, and I really don't even want to know you then. If we're down to that level of cable, and you didn't watch it for free, it did come out on video for reels today, as of...
Blackfish?
November 12th. Came out on all video formats today. And now SeaWorld actually was sued by, but they were adjudicated, if you will, by OSHA, Occupational something or other.
Occupational Safety and Hazard Association.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they were told that the humans and the orcas are no longer allowed to swim together because the humans keep dying.
Okay.
Or being eaten, depending on which, you know.
Which story.
But hunger level.
Yeah, exactly.
The Hunger Games at our SeaWorld.
How fresh the food, how hungry the fish is a little
humans
game we like to play.
Humans cannot be used as chum.
So exactly, we're going to chum the water.
We need bait. You're
exactly.
Hired.
In front of a live studio
come
audience.
Come here, Heidi. Come on. Yeah. Wow.
But
that pretty much ruins any show they've got, because the whole beauty, the hook for them was, look at
no
the people.
Pun intended.
Look, fish hook, thank you.
Gone.
But the thing was, look at all these people swimming with orcas.
Yeah. So, and you'll love this. Antonin Scalia, my favorite Scalia, cunt.
Yeah.
He's a cunt.
Cunt. You, sir.
Turns out he has a son named Eugene, and Eugene is a solicitor of the U.S. Department of Labor, and he argued that OSHA is overstepping its bounds and has no more of a right to impose restrictions on a specialized industry like SeaWorld than it does to regulate tackling in the NFL or impose speed limits in NASCAR. I don't care what you say, but whoever has a gavel and a robe that says, stop getting in with the things that eat you, is just a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not trying to impose sanctions, dickhead.
Humans, we're not going to close SeaWorld yet because of the white people and their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We still like to go there. But I'm going to tell you, stop swimming with them, especially if SeaWorld's going to say that she got killed because of her ponytail.
Right, that's bullshit.
If she's going to sell bullshit, then...
Yeah.
Well, and you even said to me, I don't know if it was last week, I don't even recall if it was during the show or after, you were talking about the whole dorsal fin thing.
Collapsed dorsal fin. Right,
they're all trying to sell that's normal. That's natural.
Bullshit.
But it's not, because it never happens in the wild.
No, it doesn't. There's none.
No.
None.
And they say like 35, I can't remember what the number is, but they say like 35 to 50% of all orcas have collapsed dorsal fins. And then they went in the wild and they couldn't find one. It's something to do with being in, and they don't know what it is. They don't know what it is or what causes it, but something.
Aren't those the same people that don't believe in global warming?
Yeah, same fuckers.
My wonderment is, that's a big word, isn't it?
Wow. I liked it.
The dorsal,
I'm going to ungong you on
Now, the dorsal fin thing, one of the things that I've thought about, and I have no proof, I haven't researched this. Again, we are not journalists, so don't hold us to any real fact checking.
These orcas are nobodies.
But.
And they like PB&Js.
Right.
Yeah.
It might be. My wonder is it a muscular atrophy? Because they're not in the wild.
No,
they're
agree.
Really not out there using it.
That's
so
a really good point.
Clearly, when they're out there in full ocean, they've got to use everything.
So maybe
they've
when
got.
They're half that's, the time jerking them off to get the sperm, they could rub the dorsal fin and get that working too.
But that makes good sense, Clayton, because they wouldn't have these pieces of their body that they just didn't need to use.
Right. They
so
don't
they
have
use
to
that for something.
Clearly.
In the wild.
It has something
right,
to do with navigation or whatever the hell they do.
That makes good sense. And it just.
Sure.
But that's
and
just
all
sad.
They have to do is go in a circle.
Right.
So just when you think they can't get any more sickening, it turns out that they're also breeding scallion. Antonin has decided to breed and make even more shitty people. I didn't think there could be anybody worse than Antonin Scalia, but it turns out...
His son.
Yeah, he came in somebody and produced an heir.
All right.
He's pretty head, too.
Oh, he's filthy. Yeah. I want to Zapooter him.
So if you haven't seen the doc, and I know I talked to my mom about this, but Blackfish, is it an on demand? Is it somewhere? Can you just...
It's anywhere you can find video formats. It got too popular for, it's not like if you have Netflix, you actually have to get movies in the mail. It's not on instant viewing. But Amazon Prime, all those places. All the places that you can rent your movies for $2.99. If you have the good cable and you have on demand, it went on demand today. And they add $2.99 to your bill lovingly.
It is insane. It,
lovingly.
Really, even, and I didn't
I'm sorry, at this point in time, if you can't find a fucking movie that I recommend to watch, there's something mentally wrong with you.
I was really surprised. I only got to see about
unless
the last...
Unless you live in the hills of northern Alaska.
Or Leith, North Dakota.
Right. You can go to any one of your 19 neighbors, and they have figured out how to get a movie into their
home.
Even
if they steal the cable. We don't give a shit.
Yeah. We don't judge that at all.
No.
We would have never had cable if it wasn't stolen. I mean, we paid for the main TV, but then we had it in four different rooms, which is completely illegal in the 70s. So now Ghost will now be a TV show. Ghost, the movie, which I used to call the most embarrassing movie that was ever nominated for Best Picture, but luckily many other movies have come up, and some of them have won, including Braveheart. But now Ghost will be a TV show. It's very early, so there's not a cast yet, and we're really not sure what's going to happen. But you can guarantee that it will.
I think someone's dead, and there's something to do with ceramics.
You in danger, girl.
And you just got to hope that they can make something.
I just don't remember Ghosts.
Orlando?
Demi really?
I know it. And Patrick Swayze and
they
Whoopi
made pottery.
I remember
they
the pottery
the
scene.
Thing,
but
there was
I
a penny up the wall that they slid in.
The most amazing
I don't know
part
the story
of,
at all. I know he dies and she comes back and like speaks through him. For
the,
him.
Most, the most amazing part of that movie in that year was that it was the year of Pretty Woman. And not only was Pretty Woman a female lead movie that made... well over $100 million, but the biggest movie of that year was Ghost, where Demi Moore was the star of that movie. That's what sold that.
And I actually,
she was on the rise. So
I thought that she was at her most beautiful. I thought she was just
and
gorgeous.
And so did the rest of the world, because that's
beautiful.
The start of the Demi Moore as the $20 million actress.
That's
like,
beautiful girl.
But that always amazes me that the number one movie of that year is not Pretty Woman like you think. Oh, no, it's Ghost. Laura.
But a TV show.
who knows? You know, yeah, some things are good, some things are bad. The TV show MASH is good. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You just never know.
Aftermath sucked, but MASH was great.
Well, no, but MASH, the movie, was Academy Award nominated. And they actually sing.
Katie, did you realize there was a MASH movie?
No, I did not. Okay. But I didn't like MASH.
The TV show.
The TV show.
Loved it.
I think we've talked about it before. Yeah. Every Saturday when my dad would like eat his bologna sandwich and drink his beer and that goddamn song.
Bologna.
Would come
bologna.
On.
No PB&J.
But the good thing is, in the movie.
That's also really white.
And only in the movie do they sing. And it's actually a play.
Suicide is playing this.
It's actually a play that became a movie that became a TV show. But they sing the song in the play in the movie, but they don't. Nobody ever sings the lyrics in the TV show.
Right.
No one ever mentions what that is. But the only character that stays in is Radar. The only person that played the same character.
I don't even know that.
No,
Radar O'Reilly.
Radar O'Reilly.
Yeah,
he was from Iowa.
Then he got bitter because he was a supporting character and he thought he should have bigger roles. All a bunch of bullshit. But anyways, so now
love the residuals, Gary Berghoff. Love the residuals.
How are we saying your name, Laura Prepon?
Prepon.
Okay, who became. Surprisingly, the breakout star, like it was her big resurgence that everyone fell in love with her character.
Yeah, because she was sexy.
And
that played a part.
But I was just surprised with as good as everything was on Orange is the New Black was that she was the one that everyone became so attached to. And with me, it was Kate Mulligan as the Russian Red.
Who used to be on Ryan's Hope.
That's a reach back.
See how she wins me back without Showtime? <That's>
broadcast television from the 80s.
Just know your Ryan's Hope trivia and you got yourself a fan. Without Ryan's Hope, we wouldn't have Knight Rider.
That's true.
And I can't remember who the other big guy is from there. Oh, he went on to something else really
who
big.
Who was it? Was Hasselhoff in Ryan's Hope?
Yes.
Okay. Did not realize that. The Hoff was in the Hope.
And there was another really cute. There was another really cute. And he was the main character. He might have been Ryan, but he became big. But anyway, so she's coming back, and she's only. So far, it says she's going to be in four whole episodes.
Because she wasn't going to come back because of. Scientology.
Yes. Oh, is she a Scientologist? Mm-hmm. Oh, I was not aware of. But now, not only is
she. That's my understanding, was that she was not going to come back because of Scientology. I may be making that up.
Okay. It could happen.
I'm Googling it.
I will take back your gong for knowing
Ryan's
Hope.
Was it parenthetically not coming back?
Parenthetically. Orange is the New Black prison drama. But not only is she coming back for episodes, but she's also renegotiating for season 3. So that's even better. We're gonna get.
Yeah, she just was my favorite. Like, I feel like the love story between her and Poppy would—that's the biggest thing.
And it just depends.
I'm going to tell you, I did not realize Hinman was on Ryan's Hope, who played the friend Tim the Toolman's.
Oh yeah, Tim. Yeah, the neighbor that they never showed his head.
I didn't know that either.
I did not. I just
because
saw that
and luckily it's because everyone loved Ryan's Hope back in the day. Like
wow,
so they all went on to something.
What's his
better.
Name? Earl Hinman
and Marg Helgenberger was on there.
Yep, that's
right.
Where she's from.
Well, she's not my crush anymore because apparently actress Laura Prepon is a devout Scientologist, a religious group that is known for having varying ideas about homosexuality. Largely, though, it is a homophobic church based on the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard. Really sane, super like
From
normal,
last year,
sane gone. Guy.
You need to see the master from last year, which was not based on Scientology.
Yeah, he has written that lesbianism and homosexuality are sexual perversions and are dangerous to society. So she was going to not come back because she was a lesbian.
That's right.
But didn't she know that her character was a lesbian before she got
Yeah, that was the whole thing that didn't make any sense.
It was like pretty clear. Like they were doing gay sex in the first episode, which is what kept me coming
back. They're just glad to have a job.
And if you read for it, like she goes to read for the part, you're playing ex-lesbian lover of main character.
But, you know...
And you're actually the lesbian.
The lesbian.
And the other thing with Scientology is they kind of forgive Tom Cruise anything he wants.
And he wants to be gay.
Because of the money. You know what I mean? It's money.
Right.
But they said... But I would say... We've talked about this before where the guy that's the head...
L. Ron.
He's... No, he's dead. The most enlightened person in the church, whoever he's their high goddess or whatever he is... That Tom Cruise is so blindly in love with him that he will never question him. But they said that they'll throw Tom Cruise under the bus in a hot second.
Now, is that the one who his wife has disappeared?
Yes, that's him. And his wife is missing, and that's why the girl that's on the talk or was in the talk left.
Yep.
Wow.
What? Anyways, I know.
From the King of Queens.
But if we're, Leah Remini.
Leah Remini?
Oh, yeah.
She left.
But if we're going to bash religion, I'd like to be more prepared. So I don't want to go off the cuff on that.
Because I have some things.
Yeah, I'd like to be more prepared. But in the least surprising news of all, American Horror Story and The Walking Dead
least surprising.
Have both been renewed for another season. And
no gong, but just a bell ring for you.
There is an interesting article. I think it's an Entertainment Weekly.
Thank you.
Online this week that talks about the ratings for The Walking Dead and how far back you have to go to find a show that has in the fourth season because fourth season, fifth season is when ratings start to
People start to get over it.
You dip a little.
Like Sons of Anarchy, I was so psyched on Sons, and then fourth season, I kind of went. Lost a little interest.
But traditionally throughout TV, and then the fifth season usually happens to get them their syndication rights because you used to need 100 episodes to get syndicated, and that would happen during season five. And then no one cared. Everyone was making their money on season five. So six, seven, eight, and nine are very rare outside of TV. So to find a show in the waning years that are getting this high of numbers, like you have to go back to like season eight of Friends when it was the only thing on TV. Yeah. And you have to go back to, and for scripted TV, there's only like three shows in the last 14 years that have the numbers that The Walking Dead is posting for 18 to 49. Like every executive on TV is like, we don't get it. Huh. Like Duck Dynasty has something to do with it. No. Duck Dynasty is Bates Motel. They're like, we don't get it. Like there's no lead in. There's nothing else going on. These numbers are gigantic. And when they do the new DVR plus seven, they're astronomical. They're like,
it's wild.
Is every human on Earth watching this? Like, they can't figure it out.
I'm not.
Yeah, you should be.
So renewed.
I'm sure you're shocked.
And again, this week, another great episode.
I think that this week was probably the best of the season. Yeah. Aside from the first episode, because I was ready for some, like, you know, it's been a lot of, like, thinking and a lot of happening and a lot of, like, building up. I was ready for some fucking zombie action.
Oh, and it was everywhere.
I was watching it today. Palmer was napping and I was working and I'm watching the show. And Kelly's in the room and I'm going, holy shit. And she's like, wait, do you need me? Do you need me? What's going on? I'm like, just no. And then a couple minutes later, I'm like, oh, my God. And she's like, what's going on? Do you need me? No. Just
still zombie apocalypse. No. Baby's fine. Still worried about zombies. And then on American Horror Story.
So good.
And American Horror Story has been kind of fun. To me, it's just like Desperate Housewives with
horror.
With Academy Award winning actresses everywhere.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun. It's campy.
It's not scary anymore.
No, it's not. It's not even. They've lost the horror part. But luckily.
But it's still a horror premise. I mean, it's still, you know.
But they're just fan. It's like the first season was so scary. That this is just, it's kind of a joke, but it really is Desperate Housewives with just Academy Award winning actresses. That's all we've done. Because there's nothing, I don't even get nervous with all the doors and windows open. I'm like, there's nothing going to happen here.
I saw Jessica Lange the other day on Kathy Lee and Hoda talking about, they showed a clip of her with Kathy Bates doing a scene from that, which was, interesting scene, but apparently Jessica Lange she's now writing children's books.
Yeah, and she's dying to retire from acting, and she wants to just do children's books. But then she just signed up for season four of American Horror
Story,
which
makes me happy because it's super fun to watch.
Well, because Ryan Murphy's just stroking her. You know what I mean? He's just doing animal husbandry. He's like, I know you want to retire, but before you retire, what's your wish list? And last season, she was like, I've never played an outright drunk. She's like, I've always played someone with, like, neuroses or somebody who drank to cover something up. She's like, I just want to play a drunk. And he made her a crazy, neurotic, hit-and-run drunk nun, but he let her just be drunk for a couple episodes. And I guess this one, she just wanted to be, like, she just wanted to play with other actresses and just be, like, a witch. And he was like, all right, I'll write it.
Oh,
yeah. So, I mean, he's just stroking her. He's got, like, one of the greatest living actresses and being like, what do you want to play?
Right.
Like, and what have you not done yet? And she is so good.
She's just so good. And it is just like, regardless of whether it's not scary anymore, it is so much fun.
And the little 9-year-old in me that's still alive that watches this just thinks of, because I loved the 1976 King Kong. Yeah. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved her in King Kong.
Oh, she was in that?
Yes, she was.
Oh, yeah.
She, yeah. But I loved her in How to Beat the
Lion in the Hand.
Yeah.
Don't confuse the 1933 original.
She's not Faye Ray.
She's not Faye Ray.
That's what I was thinking.
But right. In 76, they did a remake.
With the big animatronic.
I gotta Google it.
And I have to tell you, it was probably horrible, but I've watched it a few times since. And I just thought she was so beautiful. And then she was in How to Beat the High Cost of Living with Susan St. James. Oh. And,
wow, I forgot about that one.
And what's her name? Jane Curtin from Saturday Night Live. And I loved that movie. So I just thought she was a delightful, pretty woman. And then she was in All That Jazz and Tootsie and Frances and went started winning Oscars.
She got an Academy Award nom for Tootsie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is neat.
That's the greatest year of Best Actress ever. When
I should probably dig up Tootsie. I have not seen that in a long time. That is a great movie.
And Terry Garr.
Terry Garr, right?
That's one of the best screenplays ever.
I've never seen that either.
Tootsie?
What?
Oh, we've got to do a movie night here.
We should
do a movie night.
Yeah, I'll come
can
watch
you,
Tootsie.
Can you escape another night without family and friends and children?
That's one of the best screenplays ever written, because everything that he does as a man that makes him a complete prick to women, he turns around and does it as a woman to win over Jessica Lange as a woman. I mean... all the shitty stuff he does on the piano and all the douchey moves he uses.
Yeah.
When he's dressed as an older, ugly woman, he does them in a simple, gentle way to win Jessica Lange's friendship, and it's just fantastic.
That's funny.
So good.
Yeah,
it is a great movie.
I'm in.
Wow.
Zac Efron, just out of rehab, slips on some water outside his house, breaks his jaw.
I heard that today.
God. And his jaw is wired shut. That's a pretty boy. We got to fix that up.
Well,
we got to Frankenstein him back together.
It's not changing the outer. It's just a little structural. They'll patch that shit up.
Yeah, but what's really unfortunate is that you got to get some pain meds when you break your jaw.
Yeah.
Right. And he got out of rehab.
So now he's going to be hooked again. Oh, it's a vicious circle, Hollywood.
It is. Circle of life.
That's really unfortunate. Because I don't think you can go through a jawbreak without, like...
Speaking of Lion King, go ahead. Okay. I'll tell you in a minute. Lion King, and write it down.
Blockbuster, the brick and mortars, all closed. Were they still open? Did anybody know? Because I had no idea.
They were. There were a couple.
Weren't there either 300 or 800 stores nationwide still?
300 something.
None within walking distance
maybe not,
of our general
but,
area.
In fact, and I had forgotten about them too. Completely forgot. But then again, I didn't go rent videos. But the funny thing is, I remember back home, even in Missouri, you know, I remember people because in radio that I did.
I remember people too. I've seen them before.
But I remember, you know, these people who invested all this money and they had the video stores and they did all that stuff. And I'm like, wow, I hope to God somebody else, because Blockbuster never saw this coming. I hope other people abandoned shit before, you know, all of the on demand came.
And the one that was here long before Blockbuster ever showed up, they were somewhere between Rite Aid and remember when Rite Aid used to rent videos?
Mm-hmm.
Between Rite Aid and Blockbuster, Scottsdale Video at 68th and Thomas, and then they moved up the block, but they were there for years, and they stayed open. They slowly went into DVDs. They tried their hand at laser discs. They tried everything, but
Blockbuster was right there too.
Yeah, but later.
That was Scottsdale and
Thomas. Uh-huh. But they stayed open at 68th and Thomas, and then they just moved like one block over to a bigger building. But that little family business stayed open forever. And I was thinking of them. I'm like, I haven't been in that area in years.
Right.
But I'm like, I wonder how long they lasted.
Because that's where your Taco Bell was, right? In that area?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were right. Because your whole world was in that corridor.
Was in that corridor.
With BS West and Taco Bell and all that.
But I love that everyone, when the news came out and it was on CNN that day, I like that everyone was like, they were still there.
You know, Jessica Lange is so stunning. I'm just image searching her. And when
she's still a beautiful woman.
And I always, but like, I'm
still married
at,
to Sam Shepard?
Never married. They've been together.
Yeah, oh, I didn't realize.
Couple kids.
From Stillwater,
I love
Minnesota.
That she can kind of do like the bohemian wavy hair, but then she can also look super glam. But when she was young,
Probably in the 1976 version of King Kong.
King Kong, yeah.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
And she used all the money and she told everybody, fuck you. She took that movie, King Kong. She knew it was a flop. She took all the money and went to acting school. How to Beat the High Cost of Living, which I always loved, and I just put it on my Netflix list because that movie always makes me laugh. And then her big comeback was in All That Jazz. She's the Angel of Death. And that's what got her noticed, and she started getting parts again. And everyone was like, oh, my God, this absolutely gorgeous woman can act. Yeah, and the greatest, she's so the greatest year of the Academy Awards is 1982 with her as Frances and Meryl Streep as Sophie's Choice.
Oh, yes.
And I talk that. Every year when I get drunk at the Oscars. Yeah, you do talk about that. Year. And the film critics finally decided after going they tied every ballot, and finally they said, was she in? Was anybody in another movie? And they're like, Jessica Lange's in Tootsie. They're like, best supporting actress. Mm-hmm. That way, they can both walk away with an Oscar, both walk away with awards, and everyone did it. Dallas Buyers Club opened. It's here in Phoenix. It's in Scottsdale. I've heard that the performances are great from Matthew McConaughey. You know, buy one Matthew McConaughey, get one free in every movie. And Jared Leto is pretty much the guaranteed nom for best supporting actor. But I heard the movie's not that great. I hear that there's a lot of problems with the movie.
Like, what's wrong with that?
That it's just the way people aren't happy with the way it's portraying gays in that time. And I'm like, well, you know what? Not everything was going our way at that time. Right. So some people were dying.
People were just
victims. So then, and let me see if I can do this. What time is it? Okay.
Plenty of time.
Here it is. And I don't know why I keep doing that. So now the first of the true award season starts December 1st in that week, and that is the National Board of Review will put out theirs. So now,
that's not like a show.
No, National Board of Review doesn't have a show, but they will in the first week, whatever day works with them. It's always on the same day of the week. But National Board of Review will put out their choices, their winners, and. So far, what everyone's saying is that the Best Picture frontrunners are going to be 12 Years a Slave, because there's up to 10 slots. Captain Phillips, Gravity, Her, which is the movie with it's Spike Jonze who did Adaptation, and he did
Spike Jonze.
Oh, sweet loving Jesus! It's Kate Winslet and.
Joaquin Phoenix. Amy Adams.
But Joaquin Phoenix is the one in Her, but Spike Jonze is the director, and he did. Oh my God, what the hell is it called?
Please,
it's Kate Winslet, and it's Jim Carrey, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is one of the greatest movies ever made. So now his new movie is Her. He's taking a break. He did an animated feature as his last one. But Her is getting great reviews.
Where the Wild Things Are.
Being John Malkovich,
an adaptation.
Mm. Yeah, Being John Malkovich, which is so much fun. Lee Daniels, The Butler, they're saying that nothing is coming along that's going to knock The Butler out.
Really?
So I was thinking it might not make it. The other choices are All Is Lost with Robert Redford, which is getting really good reviews. And that's like his version of Gravity, but at sea. American Hustle, which is...
Oh, yeah. What's her face?
Everybody is in that movie.
I'm thinking of that girl.
Amy Adams, Jennifer Lawrence, The Cutie Patootie from The Hangover. No, it hasn't opened yet.
Oh.
But that's why all these other movies are kind of like in the running, but you have to see how they open. You know what I mean? If they open and crash and burn.
I want to see American Hustle.
You can see it. Blue Jasmine.
I'm in luck.
You're welcome. Yeah.
And Saving Mr. Banks, which is the movie about Mary Poppins, which everyone is saying is surprisingly really good. Okay. All the reviews have been really good.
What's it called?
Saving Mr. Banks. The Wolf of Wall Street is the big thing that everyone wants to see, how it opens and what it opens as. Is it going to be a fucking train wreck, or is it going to be another Martin Scorsese masterpiece? It opens Christmas Day. They finally got it edited down. It's clearly not the year that Leonardo DiCaprio is going to win an Oscar, but it is really the movie that everyone wants to see. And, you know, he proved it with Great Gatsby. Everyone thought Great Gatsby was going to be the biggest bomb in the world that made hundreds of millions of dollars around the world, was a big hit. And
did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it.
And I don't remember you talking about that one.
He just keeps surprising you. Oh, it's fantastic. Okay. That's the one that I wasn't sure Buddy would like, because it's...
I do remember that now.
It's so over the top, over-directed, And they have a best actor list, but I mean, seriously, Chiwetel Ejiofor is just going to win. Just fuck you to anybody else that thinks they're getting anything. Honest to God, though, I do have to say his only competition would be Robert Redford in All Is Lost and Matthew Broderick. Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club because I love a skinny actor.
Well, I feel excited for like someone to start winning something, right? So that doesn't that help? Won't that help kind of guide?
Right, right. Us and that to... you wait for the National Board of Review, and then once the National Board of Review comes in the 1st of December, that is all that's going to happen every single day is more. I mean, every city, every film, everybody's
is going to start in, like, yeah, putting up the nominations. And
so I was just trying to see if there's anything really interesting to look out for. Judi Dench has one called Philomena that looks amazing. Where she's looking for her son, and then I'll tell you all again, Brie Larson, it's called Short Term 12. It's out in limited release. It comes out on video sometime in December. Brie Larson is the actress to watch. She is the person to keep your eye on. We're going to gong her.
Oh,
Brie Larson. I like
it. Brie Larson.
Brie Larson, good. Keep your eye on her. And that's all that's really interesting. Jared Leto is the one that's really getting his name just about everywhere.
I saw pictures and it was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And I just have to say, if George Clooney gets a supporting actor nomination from Gravity, then all is lost. He did nothing.
Oh yeah, Brie Larson. It's so funny that I have recently Googled her.
Yeah, and I like that. the supporting actress comes down to three black actresses. It's either going to be Octavia Spencer for Fruitvale Station.
Okay.
I think Oprah Winfrey really has the win, and I'm going to go back and get her name right, this poor woman. Lupita Nyong'o.
Ooh, good one.
For 12 Years a Slave. Three amazing performances, all completely different, all in different genres, which is just kind of amazing to have this much talent in the actress category, and then to have them be African-American is just... True for a lover of actresses, yeah. This is truly an amazing
year. It's going to be an interesting
year.
Night to watch
and
with you.
Yeah. Breaking news.
Breaking?
They all love peanut butter and jelly.
Oh.
Oh, all of them.
And Wonder Bread. We'd also like to say hello to Switzerland and Malaysia have joined us.
Switzerland, that's new.
Yes, watching, or excuse me, listening.
Last week, 2 weeks ago.
Don't know. They just listened for a few minutes. But we do. Yeah, Switzerland. God, so many people listening live to our broadcast. But thank you for doing so. Join us in the chat room if you care to. Let us know what you're doing, how you are. Well, there's that. Katie?
Yes, sir.
Are we ready to go?
We are.
Are you?
Ready.
Here we go.
University of Texas swimmer comes out as gay in an email to his teammates.
Hot, hot, hottie.
Oh.
Very sad news. A local high school football player dies of a traumatic brain injury.
Heard this today.
Richie Incognito, the full interview. Dolphins fan signs are dicks.
Ooh.
And also, the Minnesota Vikings.
Suck.
In sports.
So first off, we'll start on a high note. Matt Corman is a swimmer in the University of Texas.
I Googled this.
And in an email to his team, he has come out. He says he kept a very big secret until recently, but he finally felt it was time to be authentic and decided to tell his fellow swimmers. This OutSports initially received a message about what happened from one of his teammates, and the online LGBT sports site reached out to him. I've been totally blessed by this whole situation, he says, because it has gone so well. He had already come out to his family and felt it was time to come out to his swimmers, as that's when you're a collegiate swimmer, that's all you do as any collegiate athlete.
Yeah.
So this was kind of his family. He says, I've gotten zero negative feedback. There were a couple of guys who always threw around the word faggot and tried to make every situation as masculine as possible, but we're totally fine. They said, you're still my friend and my teammate and good for you.
He is. You think he's cute? This kid? This Matt? This guy? Hang on, where'd it go? This guy?
Oh yeah, the picture I saw was like hot
from
hottie.
The side.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right. He's a cutie in that picture.
I mean, you got to love a swimmer body at least.
Yeah.
They're long and lean, and who doesn't want that?
Right.
They're hot. Anyway, his email is very sweet. It's you can find it on HuffPost under their sports section if you're interested. The whole thing is there. But he just says, for the long time, I tried to be someone I'm not. I'm gay. There, I finally said it. And it's just very sweet. And how nice that as we're having these same stories about in the NFL, about, you know, players are just, it's just, they're bashing each other and belittling each other. You know, it's so great to see these teammates really rally behind him.
And yeah, and all the they varied from who cares to good for you.
Good for you. And even the guys that, like he said, the guys that had kind of used some homophobic slurs just as like locker room trash talk, they all said to him, we love you and we support you. And I'm certain that they will not be using those slurs.
You know, I can't believe we actually, to interrupt you for just 1 second, Katie, I can't believe we actually went through this much of the show and didn't mention it. Now there are 16.
Oh, yeah.
Hawaii is now the state. So we have Hawaii. 16 states in the union who now accept same-sex marriage. Yep. I totally forgot that.
Illinois and then Hawaii. And someone else had pointed out that it's Barack Obama's two home states. So go Barack.
Yeah.
Which is happy for that.
I meant to start the show today with saying that there were 16, but no. Sweet 16, in fact, something that he said on online. Yeah.
That's great.
All right, I missed the Hawaii story. Yeah. When did that
late,
happen?
Late today. Like literally 4 or 5 o'clock
this afternoon.
Today.
Okay. So what's
they're in a different time frame, you know?
Exciting and really smart.
They didn't change either.
They're not on Mountain Standard time?
They don't change?
No, they don't change either.
So we're the only two?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, things for them happen later in the day.
Parts of Indiana didn't.
That's so weird.
Parts of Indiana didn't, but they used to call it slow time and fast time for when you change time zones. But Indiana stopped that shit because they weren't that smart.
Right. Tired of it. Continue on, my dear.
HRC, I think, plays a big factor. You know, I'm a part of HRC, so of course I believe in what they do. But I think they play a very big role in this. And they had they've had a state-by-state strategy. And the idea is that we'll go state-by-state.
Are you talking about daylight savings time?
No, now we're talking about gay marriage. They talk about going state by state, and we're never going to just like push it through at the federal level without having, you know, and it's a state by state strategy, and it's we'll focus really hardcore on this state and this state and then this state and this state until you
and
just have so many states that it's
literally defeat the Dole, not the Dole. I always blame Dole and it's not them. This is that pineapple plantation in the middle of Oahu that everybody goes to. Mm-hmm. It's the SeaWorld of Oahu where everybody goes.
Swims with pineapples.
Is it called Polynesian Paradise or
Polynesian? Yeah, I know like what you're talking about.
The Polynesian
about.
Experiment. Yeah. And what they didn't tell you was that all the money from that was a Mormon run.
I remember
it's a Mormon run compound, and all the money goes to anti-gay legislation. So the money that they funneled into, and this was Hawaii is where the anti-gay money from the Mormons started.
Yeah.
So this really is. And then part two was taking it to California, and they took all the Hawaii money and they deny it, but then they had to stop denying it because they found the cash checks.
Yeah.
All that money went from Hawaii right to California. And
isn't it great that they both were fucked?
They both lost.
Yeah. Good.
They both lost. So all this
gong.
Yeah.
Bastards.
United. What's the
suck it, Mormons.
Citizens United. No, but all the money from the churches have now lost in both states. All those billions and billions of dollars, millions and millions of dollars that they've spent in both states has now lost. And Sheldon in Las Vegas, every person he put his money behind in 2012, they all lost. And now in the last election, the Tea Party money lost.
Think of how many wonderful things all that money
could have done.
Or how many people it could have helped.
Jesus.
When you look at things like, you know, real tragedies around the world, like gay marriage is not a real tragedy. The typhoon, the super typhoon in the Philippines, that's a real tragedy. Right. Like Kelly and
homeless
I getting married,
vets in America.
Not actually a real tragedy. Yeah. So how about you put your fucking money where it's needed?
Yeah.
To help actual real
homeless people sleeping behind the church because the church ignores
them. Yeah,
let's
do
that.
Or veterans coming back from war they can't find jobs.
Yeah. Right.
Like, no.
Let's just
so
support
many
them.
Ways that the
just
that
make those, up a fucking job and give the veteran a job. Like, I don't care what you have to
do. Well,
with
billions of dollars, you could literally make up a job and give it to him and pay him to do a made up job.
You could make an Apple factory.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
And start
I'm going to write
that
down. Make an Apple factory.
Anyway, so we're happy bringing it back to sports. Happy that this guy was able to come out and be supported by his team. And this is not on a high note at all. It's a really sad story. It actually happened locally. A high school football player from Arizona died from an injury suffered in the fourth quarter of a playoff game.
He passed away just this morning, late last night. Yeah,
yeah. They had reporters actually outside Barrows Neurological Institute today reporting on it. He was a Hopi high school senior. Had a traumatic brain injury. It was reported by the Arizona Interscholastic Association, which is this high school sports association that is supposed to ultimately be tracking head injuries, concussions, things like that. I actually just heard an article or heard something on NPR recently that there's really that they aren't very good at it ultimately. And there's no way, like, you know, they can track Katie June in football. They say Katie June has this many head injuries in football, but then I go play soccer and then they like don't track how many head injuries I have in soccer. And then I go do something else. They don't track how many. So there's not really a very consistent way of tracking.
And then you graduated from high school with four concussions, and then they're like, oh, that's brain damage.
And then I go to – right, and then I go play in college or whatever. So,
or and then at 25, you come out and kill people, and nobody realized that, oh, well, she had 37 brain injuries.
Concussions.
Or, right, exactly.
Yeah. Like, I have really
– you would think they would have some sort of a database. Sure. There's an – internet, if there was only a way
only there was
that you could get a
you could like
connect
spreadsheet
them.
Track
yeah
things,
track things
gather statistics
just a thought
just like one way some maybe
I mean the Nielsen, the Nielsen's could, do it we could call the Nielsen
yeah
I
TV we does it but Arizona Sports we can't do it
Gong.
So here's what actually just like a sad story I mean it's just a story that needs to be told in his legacy if nothing else his name was Charles Uvella. He, again, played for Hopi High. They lost the game to Arizona Lutheran. It was a first-round playoff game. They lost 60-6, so it goes a
the game was already in the tank pretty bad, but he just, according to what I heard and listened to today, but he just kept going.
He did.
He was like their battering ram
for this
game. He did,
and he was
game.
Their only touchdown. The 6 points that came from that
was
team
his.
Was his. Anyway, it's drawn national attention, you know, because it's as it should
do, yeah.
And it should, and it's really scary.
Apparently what I heard today was all of 2012 in high school football there were no deaths, but the previous year and like already this year there were like I want to say 3 to 4 already, like two of them oddly were out of New York State.
Yeah, well, and I've heard them happening in other places. This just of course to us hits home. It happened
right.
in here in Arizona.
It's
and
the Arizona connection.
We're talking this is going to be the downfall of NFL.
I see. So
because the more injuries you have, the more people are going to be like, my kid is not.
There have
playing
been more
sport.
And more articles and more news reports lately about, you know, how Pop Warner, the enrollment in Pop Warner is declining. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, at this point, it's not hard to find high school football players. But I am with you. I think it will become harder and harder. I'm telling you, if I have a son, there is not a chance he's playing football. No way.
Why can't Palmer play football?
Okay. Or Palmer.
Yeah.
Well, because she's ballerina, obviously. Duh. She's a gymnast. She's
read
a gymnastics. Yeah. No, Palmer certainly could, but she won't. I would never let her or any of my children. Yeah. And she and I'm and I know soccer also is not great. And for that matter, neither is cheerleading or gymnastics or
yeah. But that's I mean,
you don't risk a lot of head injuries in cheerleading.
Yeah, you do.
You do because they put those girls on pyramids and they
sure
drop
they
on
do.
Their fucking heads.
There is serious
and they
don't wear,
tumbling and
they don't
more
wear
about
any,
the tumbling and throwing people,
and they don't even pretend to wear equipment.
Right. So pom poms, right? Yeah. That's not really dangerous. But when you get into like
injuries.
Competitive cheer, yeah.
Oh, have you not watched ESPN at night?
Not,
it's pretty. Specific.
Why would I ever watch ESPN ever?
Because the cheerleading champs.
I have a better
so
chance
fun.
Of watching a movie than watching ESPN.
And the cheer champs are fun, but
you're
Clinton,
not doing drunk right. You got to come home drunk
seriously.
And watch the cheerleading championships.
I have a feeling when he
nuts.
Comes home drunk, he's watching something else.
No, I just
probably not.
No, I wake up to CNN. The same. I go to, apparently I turn CNN on.
Well, I will tell you.
I don't know what's going on.
I wouldn't have known. I don't think I would have known quite as much about the cheerleading injuries, but they're talking about it more now that they're talking more about head injuries in general. Soccer.
Sure.
I think the biggest ones are soccer, cheer, and football.
Yeah.
Well, soccer, you're hitting the ball all the time. Gee, I can't imagine that shit.
Banging heads.
And I played soccer for years. Being this will give you some insight, but I played soccer goalie. And so as the goalie, like you're diving after the ball and you're diving after this. And so you're almost diving into people. I ran into the goal
the post
a couple times. I remember getting up playing this one team, and my coach was like, "Are you good?" And I'm like, "I'm fine." And I'm staring up at the scoreboard, and I'm like, "Huh, when did that happen?" And I could not focus on anything. Like, I couldn't.
Yeah.
That's like
it
concussion.
This was just a couple weeks ago?
This was yesterday. Yeah.
On her way here, she was goalie for an hour.
I had to play
she
a
watched
game
one of those Mexican teams
there.
At the high school park.
Goal.
Yeah. At the park.
Yeah. True story. Be afraid.
17th Avenue, Missouri. She plays every weekend.
Yeah, of course she does.
2.
Oh, it's the end of hour 2, beginning of hour 3 coming up just after this. Katie June has more sports and head injury stories to tell us about. Some of them may actually be happening in Studio C as we speak. We're not sure.
Gone.
Japan and Canada have just recently signed on. Listening live to us right now, we're coming to you from Studio C in the heart of Phoenix, Arizona, where we have lovely weather, no snow. Sorry if you do, but you can still listen and not have to shovel us.
Mm-hmm.
We shovel a lot of shit out of the studio.
True story.
Oh, lots coming up. The drinking word is gong. We'll come back with more gongs and stories and talking and thoughtful vulgarities coming up in this minute. Stick with us. It's Q-Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, 903. Yes, we come to you live from Studio C in the heart of Central Phoenix. Thank you for joining us. My name is Clayton McKee. I'm here alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins, rounding out our cast as we do each and every week. It's The Show on Q-Talk America. Thank you for joining us. People all over the world are listening to us right now. Kuwait, New Zealand, the United States, of course, Switzerland, Israel, Canada, and Malaysia. Thank you for joining us, and if you're out there and want to join us in the chat room, tell us how you are, how you found us, or what you're doing. We'd love to hear from you. Whew. Also, our friend Donnie from Okinawa, Japan, he is in the process of, I guess he's moving back to the States. He's been in the service, and he's going to be joining us in a couple weeks live
We're
in
excited.
Studio. I think it's very cool to have him.
And happy Veterans Day to you.
Oh, yes. Oh, belated Veterans Day. Day. Yeah, it was yesterday.
Good call, Marnie. No,
very nice, Marn. We were in the middle of our sports segment with Katie June. She was just talking about some local stories. And Katie, what do you have now?
So we talked a little bit last week, a lot last week actually, about this Richie Incognito, Martin situation, and it's all about the Dolphins and about bullying kind of in the NFL. So finally, we've got on Fox Sports with Jay Glazer. Richie Incognito sits down for his full interview, and I didn't watch the whole interview.
I did.
Okay, so I didn't, but I saw a lot of the highlights. Mm. And
three quarters of it.
Yeah. And so kind of here's a couple of things I took away. I'll just hit highlights and then to you guys. So one of the things that I thought is that and they showed clips and images of text messages that Jonathan Martin had sent to Richie Incognito. And what I gathered is that there was trash talking on both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Trash talking coming both ways. In addition, it sounds like Jonathan Martin actually texted Richie and said, look, dude, this I know this isn't on you. Like, I don't blame you. I blame the culture of the NFL. So I think this is a much bigger story than just what's happening at the Dolphins. It's a bigger story within the NFL. And the other thing that I thought was really interesting is, you know, I thought that Richie Incognito, listen, I don't think that he's a great guy. He was pushing this other guy around, but it looks like it was kind of in the same vein. Clayton, you talked earlier about sitting at the end of a bar with some old friends and one-liners, zingers kind of all night. And that's kind of what I gathered from this interview, that their relationship...
Within their culture.
Their relationship may have been more of like locker room zingers, one-liners kind of thing, although Incognito took it too far.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that really was telling is in what he didn't say. And when he was asked specifically about, were you told to treat Jonathan Martin this way to toughen him up? And that was the one thing that Richie Incognito wouldn't talk about. And he said, I'm not here to talk about the staff. I'm here to talk about our relationship, which I think is almost more telling than not saying anything.
He doesn't want to throw owners and management under the bus because he's fucked then if he does that.
And
he said
it's
really
an ongoing investigation, which is bullshit. It's the answer for, yes, that's exactly what happened.
Right.
In my opinion, that's how I took it. So I don't know, you guys.
Now, my it was a fascinating interview just because Martin is 22, 23
he's
years
young,
old.
Yeah.
And Richie is maybe 27
well,
to 29.
Well, he's a more senior member. He has been in the NFL for
but still in
however
his
many
20s.
Years. Yeah. Still in his 20s, but he's been in the NFL for, what, 8 years or something?
Oh, but my point is that
so he's a much more seasoned veteran.
This is two people But the older one, and you can be that late in your 20s and not understand what social media is doing to your life.
Yeah.
That he's in a bar screaming the N-word, going on this tirade, and it's like, you're a big, buzzed head white guy standing in a group, and all you just keep saying is the N-word over and over
again.
Like
PB&J.
Yeah.
But how? And then he's like,
he's white, don't they all?
And he's like, I realize now.
Don't we all? Katie June is black, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, the video's up. She took off that white
face. I'm running for office.
Don't pull a Dave Wilson.
She took off the white face.
Cousin of Lamont June. Just to say.
Lamont June.
Lamont and I go way back. We're good friends. Go way back.
But it honestly is to me someone not understanding that there are phones and cameras.
Everywhere.
And when he says, like, I understand how you can watch that video and it might raise some eyebrows, but I'm not a racist pig. I'm sorry, but the only thing I get out of that video and your text messages
is racist pig.
Is racist pig.
Exactly.
Right. And because even though Clayton and these other guys, and I'm just using you as an example, even though, like you said, you're doing one-liners at the end of the bar, you're not like doling out racial epithets and calling
N-words
and F-words. And,
no.
Right. So there is a difference.
And
I would never use the N-word
ever
in fun. Or ever in not fun. I don't use it. I think it's really disgusting word. It's same with any, like, you know, racial
again,
or religious.
And I'm just playing devil's advocate from what I saw and what I've read. And I was looking for it in here that, you know, hey, he is one of the guys.
Yeah.
The other black guys on the team are saying, you know, he is one of the black guys.
They did say that. I heard that on a news report that they said, like, he is one of the black guys.
But he will never.
He's not a black guy.
No, true.
But he is not, and I agree.
Yeah. But they looked at it in that way. Yeah. I'm like,
Well, therefore.
So what they need to stop doing is they have to stop videotaping him saying that word because whenever it comes out as a big shaved head white guy screaming that word with
he's
the word
Leith,
fuck
North Dakota.
And I'm gonna murder your mother and rape your sister and come in her cunt and all this
Jonathan
stuff.
Jonathan Martin
saying.
Said the same thing. I'm gonna
he
kill
said,
your mother.
Family. No, he said I'm gonna kill your family.
Well,
but it was a text with a puppy and it's not the same thing. But it's that picture of the really sweet woman holding the puppy.
And the dog's like
and it's like, I'm going to kill your family, and it's...
But
it's not, I'm going to rape your sister and come in her cunt.
Ooh,
like, there's a difference between the sweet looking... No, it's exactly what the thing said.
Wow.
And we've all seen that thing on Facebook, because I've seen that meme, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Where it's the woman petting the puppy, where she looks real sweet, and she's like, I'm going to kill your whole family. You know what I mean? Like...
I have nothing.
Yeah, but you're.
And I think I'm
but
afraid
you're,
of her.
But I think that you're taking a tone,
that, like,
though.
If you take my dog, you know what I mean?
Like I'm smiling at you.
Yeah.
I get what you mean as well, but I think that I don't. It's on the same page.
It does.
Mean, if you're all doing that in the locker room, it doesn't matter if you say, I'm going to rape your mother or I'm going to kill your family. I mean, they're both ugly and they're both used in jest.
But I'm going to kill your family comes as part of one of those same pictures
but
that say...
I'm going to rape your mom. I could pull out that exact same thing and write, I'm going to rape your mother, and you could, you know,
yes,
use
exactly.
it in the same way.
But it's one thing, to put it up there with something like that says...
I see what you're saying, but I disagree. I think if they're all using that same...
Right, but one was part of a cartoon, and one was... He just wrote out the words. You know what I mean?
But he had to go and search for that cartoon that says, I'm going to kill your family.
But everybody spread those things around. Everybody spread those things around, like, about not having enough coffee.
I get it. And I think that Incognito,
and I don't think it justifies it,
as the senior player, is definitely pushing him around. But
you got to worry about
text messages. But he was playing it back. He was doing it back, you know?
Yeah.
And so if he... Maybe. I doubt this. But perhaps that if he would have gone at the start and said... Mm-mm, this isn't our friendship. This isn't cool.
And to his credit, Richie Incognito did say, as soon as he found out it had gone too far, he was like, if you had just said that, if you had at any point said, this is hurting my feelings, this is not going the right way, I would have stopped. That's kind of what I wanted to hear from him, is a little bit of sensitivity. And I gave him that.
And I think so too. Even Martin kind of said that when he said, dude, this isn't about you. Oh, no, again in a text. So it's all written down. Like all of these things are.
And then you people. And then the interviewer was kind of older, and he's like, "Well, why haven't you talked to him?" He's like, "That's how we talk. Like we don't talk. We text.
That's it.
It's all done with text." And it was kind of just seeing where social media and not having a conversation doing all these things. But as soon as someone breaks out a camera,
stop it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but...
And so many things in life are that way.
I say this all the time with people, like, when they're like, oh my God, what you're doing is so funny. No, I don't want a video of me drunk being an asshole online, and I certainly did not give you my permission.
Right.
You know, I know I'm drunk, I know I'm being an asshole. You don't have my permission to take
it. Right, to videotape me.
To videotape it, because...
But
we were out one night where somebody was like, we were just playing around on the dance floor, singing and dancing, and there's people up like
for your birthday
videotaping, and
when
I'm like,
your birthday, Clayton.
No, I'm like,
okay, but if you're
don't need that to come back and haunt me, because I used to be able to go out and drink and not have a video.
I understand
come back
that, but in the day of age, in the day and age that we are in now with the technology, and that's right at your fingertips, literally at your fingertips. If you're in public, and I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying you have no expectation of privacy in public.
You have to be aware.
You've got to be on. If you're wasted drunk and people are videotaping you and it comes out online, shame on you. And it's happened to me, and it's happened to other friends of mine. And again, but like I agree with what you're saying. If you're sober in a locker room or in a bar or wherever the fuck you are, and this guy is being taped, shut the fuck up.
Right.
You should. If you don't, again, you're too far gone. You're too far fucked up. Whatever.
Yeah.
Or have but a friend that'll come and get you.
Right.
And be like, let's go.
And thank God for those people.
You're still a white guy yelling out the N-word
right.
in the bar.
And that's never. That's never acceptable.
I mean, all that's going to be of me is singing and dancing to Donna Summer on a dance floor. Like, nothing different is going to happen.
It's not going to, like, ruin your life.
I just don't ever want to see it. You know what I mean? There's no reason for me to ever see that.
You don't need to worry about it. It's too dark.
You purposely don't do that in front of a mirror. There's a reason. Right. Well,
and I'm certainly not going to come across as a racist pig from that.
Right.
Thousands of other things.
Who's a middle-aged white woman who enjoys Donna Summer?
Yeah. Couple of comments last
next
week about bagels.
Finger on the trigger.
Next on TMZ.
Yeah.
Do you know what sucks even more, though, is that a lot of the fans don't pay full attention. And they basically, they hear that Richie was, that Incognito was bullying Martin, and Martin quit and said, I'm out of here. And these fans are pissed, but not at Incognito. They're pissed at Martin for calling this whole thing out.
Causing this stir.
For making there be some unpleasant part to their Sunday afternoon.
Right.
So the worst part of this is this fucking dickhead and his white trash girlfriend, he's holding up a sign that says, Jonathan Martin sits when he pees. Really? Like a big, colorful sign.
It's
like,
really more relaxing that way, I'll tell you right now.
You know what? I mean, it just means that he's got... what he's saying, he's got a pussy, he's a vagina, he's a pussy, whatever.
He's a girl.
He's a girl, and
he's
it's just...
He's a girl. And you're just keeping that culture going and not understanding that you have to... That can't be part of the culture anymore. You have to be able to be a good football player without someone calling you a fag every 5 seconds.
Right. Yes.
At some point, you have to be able to play that game without... hate speech being thrown at
and
you.
And then what happens to this person who makes the sign? I mean, if you look at CM, he is such a douchebag and his girlfriend's ugly. But if you could...
Low self-esteem.
Who makes... What happened? Nobody is going to say anything. Because, like, none of the officials of the NFL are going to go in and say, put that sign down. Because you're allowed to make whatever sign you want. Because then if the officials go in and say, put the sign away, then who starts policing? And then we're just getting too micromanaging. But it just sucks that that is the culture that they're perpetuating. Another one is free Incognito, free Richie, say it ain't so, Richie. We support Richie Incognito. I mean, it's all of these, and they're all men.
Was there any Incognito?
No
signs.
That's not surprising.
But
if
now
there would
they're,
be.
No. They're probably neither one of them is coming back to the Dolphins. Incognito. Incognito is definitely not coming back.
Oh, is he officially like out?
He's not officially released, but all
have the Dolphins because they said yesterday that they were about to make an announcement. Yeah. I don't know if
they will release him. They won't let him back. It's not worth their time.
Not about Incognito, but they were going to actually make a statement about this whole thing.
The owner
made a statement and basically just said that he got out there and this was their first official statement from the Dolphins that he was appalled, you know, very generic, but I'm appalled by the behavior and he's meeting with Jonathan Martin tomorrow. And he said, I'm going in with a completely clear and open mind. Like, I just want to hear what happened. I want to hear how it got to this point to where one of my players walked off the team. Yeah. Like, so he seemed open to it. But, you know, at the same time, he's a rich old white guy who wants to keep making football and headlines and news. And, you know, who knows?
Yeah. And the Dolphins kind of suck. But they Incognito's almost definitely done at the Dolphins. He probably will get a job somewhere else.
Sure.
And Martin is questionable. Like, they're not sure if they'll bother to bring him back because now they don't know if the team will...
No, the team won't embrace him. Hell no.
Or any
and
other
team. And the
fans
won't embrace him.
I've heard nothing that than the fact that he's out of the NFL.
I think when you walk away in this grand fashion, you're probably done.
If you guys, and Al, you may be the only one who... will know what I'm talking about. Tony Dungy?
Are you familiar with Tony Dungy? Denver Broncos? Is that where he's from?
Nope. He was Indianapolis Colts. He was actually with the Minnesota Vikings. Then he went to the Colts as the head coach with Peyton Manning. Went down to Florida. I mean, he just amazing, amazing, amazing coach. And when he was with the Colts, they had Incognito on a... It was called a do not... something... not resuscitate, but do not, you know, don't take douchebag.
On a list of
heat. But he's been on all kinds of top-notch
coaches have kind of come forward to say, way before when he was coming out in the combine, there was like, no.
He said that, like, he's done personal therapy, he's done all these things because he realizes that his reputation, he's got a terrible reputation throughout the league.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the guy that walked off of, was it the Broncos that he just left? And he was like, you know what, done with football. I'm still healthy. And so all of us at work said, because we read the headline together, and everybody at work was like...
Are you talking about Terrell Davis?
No, he's second year, third year, he walked away from $1 million and see you, football. Because he said, I'm still healthy.
Good on him.
I made some money. Yeah. But we all said his college degree must have been real.
He didn't, actually went to college.
He didn't get a fake degree that nobody can trace. He must have a degree in something. But he just walked away, and it was just a headline Thursday or Friday.
I thought that was a reason. I didn't pay attention, but I heard that.
He had the rest of this season's pay that he gave up, and then and it came to $1 million.
Wow. But he just didn't want to get... He'll invest wisely and go to work. And,
yeah, yep. He just didn't want to get hurt.
So
took a look at a couple traumatic brain injuries and said, I'm going to see y'all later.
Robert Smith was a running back for Ohio State. Amazing running back. And then he came to the Vikings and amazing running back. And at 30 said, I'm done. He had not hurt himself. He's like a doctor. I mean, he's brilliant.
Yeah, because the degree is
life outside of football.
Fucking brilliant. And he did. He walked away. He could have been breaking records. Barry Sanders did the same thing. Goodbye.
Unlike embarrassing face Tim Tebow, who's just desperate for someone to pick him up and now is going to go collegiate.
He's probably going to end up with the Vikings. I don't want to talk
about that. No. His next step is announcer. Yeah. Either way, he's an idiot.
Nah.
But really quickly, before we move on to the Vikings,
ew.
86 days, 11 hours, 54 minutes, and 40 seconds, there's a second-by-second countdown to the Olympics.
Oh,
nice. So 86 days.
We have a countdown clock to the Olympics.
We do.
Much like the Mayan calendar.
Okay. Although we want to boycott Russia in general, we certainly don't want to boycott our American Olympians. We want to be supportive of them.
I'm thinking at this point, boycott the networks of NBC.
And Coca-Cola.
Right, that's what you're saying.
And
Coca-Cola. And
the big sponsors.
Where the money is. Right. Yeah.
Omega.
And read the back and pay attention to everything that you're ingesting, because Coca-Cola has their hands in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Dasani water.
Just not drink Coke. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Different. Minute Maid.
Odwalla, like the.
God bless you.
Dasai. They make this.
They make
Dasani. That's Coke.
Coke.
That's Coke.
Damn it. Well,
Minute Maid.
Yeah.
A Minute Maid.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things.
So John Moffitt leaves the Denver Broncos, now they're saying. Now this thing is saying that he left because of a lack of playing. But what I heard was he was like, I'm still healthy and I...
They can spin it however they want to, but I think probably right. He's like, okay, I've bankrolled enough money. I've socked it away. I'm good. I can still walk and think clearly. Right. I'm going to get out.
But if you're not playing much and they're going to pay you $1 million for 2 seasons...
Yeah, but what if they put you
in? Sit it out.
Right. Yeah. The one time you get put in and you get, you know, something snapped, you're done.
Absolutely.
Right. That's a good point.
So the Vikings lead the NFL. This is breaking news.
Breaking news.
The Vikings do. They lead the NFL, and it's something I can be so proud of. Like, I'm just touched in places
turnovers,
they shouldn't be.
Interceptions?
No, in arrests. In the rest.
Oh, attagirl. Didn't see that one coming.
Oh, yeah.
All right. All right.
And
well, it gets cold up there.
I believe tied with the Bengals, but not anymore. Not anymore because Jerome Simpson has put them ahead in the stats. DUI last Thursday.
Oh,
And they had, they finally, last, it was Friday that he was arrested, but Thursday they won their first game. It was pointed out at the top of the show on United States soil. Because that wasn't the most embarrassing thing in the entire world Thursday night to hear at the end of the game when the time runs out, the announcers say, and the Minnesota Vikings have won a game on United States soil. Oh, my God. I just sat there shaking my head. We had also gone through two quarterbacks through that game because one of them got hurt the whole thing. That damn team. But they finally have won a game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are no longer winless.
They beat the Dolphins.
They beat the Dolphins last night on Monday Night Football. And
that's the way to do it.
Yeah. And seeing Buddy on Sunday, just to bring it back to Mr. Buddy early, God bless him, and the Cowboys, because Tony Romo's my quarterback for fantasy football, and I decided to get a little bit ahead of myself. And I've not been good at fantasy football in the last 3 years. First year, I think I won a game. The second year, I think I maybe won one and tied one. And then this is my third year, and I'm like 6-4 right now, or 5-4 something. But I'm ahead, and I'm excited about this. Tony Romo's my quarterback, and the team I'm playing against, you get points for whatever it is they do, passing yards and touchdowns and all this. I had 87. Guy I'm playing against has 90. Guy I'm playing against doesn't have anybody playing anymore. And I'm like, I had Dez Bryant, who's a wide receiver for the Cowboys, and Tony Romo, who's gotten like upwards of 52 points in games. Well, I'll be goddamned if I wasn't like, you think you can get 3 points? Think you can? I bet I can. And I was cocky as a mofo. Until the third quarter, when Dez Bryant had 0 and Tony Romo had 1 point. Oh. And I'm like, oh my God, yeah. I have totally jinxed myself. They brought it back in the fourth quarter and I did win. But.
Hooray,
my
Marnie.
God, I just think that I'm going to zip it. Gong from now on. About that.
Okay. I'm sure we were getting a reprise from all, I'm sure. My gosh.
Nope, not from all of it. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I have one more very quick little thing.
Go.
Ridiculousness happening in Virginia. Virginia is for prudes, not for lovers. So after our most recent win, the Democrats win in Virginia.
Against the guy who was trying to ban oral sex
and sodomy
of all kinds.
Ken Cuccinelli, who clearly has never had a good blowjob ever, because why would you want to ban oral sex? It's bizarre. But the starkly explicit sodomy law that helped undo him has been, of course, struck down because it's bizarre and old. But here are 5 other laws banning a host of feisty activities.
Ooh, feisty. I feel like we should have theme music, but I don't know.
Gong, gong. Law 18.2344, fornication. Any person not being married who voluntarily shall have sexual intercourse with any other person shall be guilty of fornication, punishable by a class 4 misdemeanor.
So where is that at?
This
in Virginia?
Virginia.
Okay, all in Virginia.
Laws are on the books. Okay. This is still on the books. Let's see. Sex outside of marriage. Any person being married who voluntarily has sexual intercourse with any other person, not his spouse, guilty of adultery, punishable by a class 4 misdemeanor. It's interesting that our law is going to...
I think adultery is still kind of illegal in most states.
Yeah, I think... Well, I mean,
you get fucked in by the divorce lawyer, so...
Right, but I think there's...
I mean, the courts... It should be illegal in all 50
states. The courts will uphold, I'm saying, like, if you're the adulterer, right?
I don't think you can find a lot of places, because Texas struck down parts of it in the... in one of the dirty sexy time ones. But having sex outside of your marriage is, I think, in almost every state that's is still a low class, and no one's and you know you can't find someone that's not sleeping with somebody else that's going to prosecute.
Unless you've got like a written like receipt request.
No, because then the people that were arresting people for adultery were being like, oh, I'm doing that too. They're going to catch me in a minute. So people, but it laid off. But there's a lot of those laws that have never been taken off the books where adultery, because it's in the Bible and it was laws in almost every state. They're still around.
I know. Well, here's another good one. Any profane, threatening, or indecent language over public airways or by other messages, including the telephone or any electronically transmitted communication, is illegal.
Those are
punishable as a misdemeanor.
Two, three.
Cunt.
Oh my God.
Those laws are still in the books almost everywhere.
Nobody. I don't think anybody's listening in Texas.
Just in case.
This law is still enforced. A 2012 case in which the Virginia Supreme Court found that this law was properly applied against a man who said some pretty awful things over the phone to a woman he had been having actually an affair with.
Yeah.
So after that woman said some unpleasant things to his wife, causing a great deal of animosity. Okay. Sex toys. Illegal. The production, publication, sale, possession of obscene items. I know. Good thing we didn't bring that this week.
Thank Jesus.
Sex toys are illegal.
That's because someone didn't know how to use them.
Again. Yeah, that's very sad. And one that's not shocking, we all know, adoption by gay couples. Not happening in Virginia. Illegal. But hey, it's not happening in Arizona either. So there you have it. A couple of other really ridiculous laws. Glad we're 11 Virginia.
Donnie, I think it is porn music. It's shaft.
Yeah.
No, it's just a generic thing. It's called 70s porn music.
It's between porn music.
But it is called 70s porn.
Right, that's what it's called. Yeah, well, there's
knock on our door.
I can't prove.
And the roller skating scene from right. Grease Company.
There you go. Yeah. True.
Yeah. So I have to talk because I neglected to mention it during entertainment, but this is the week of like all JFK all the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're still 2 weeks away from the actual date, which is like the 21st, the
23rd.
22nd.
11/22/63.
Add them up. Take the average. And I have to say, yesterday, Channel 8 did JFK, The Experience, Part 1, which he died at the end of it, so I'm not really sure what part
is it. Like, is it like
about.
Titanic?
No, actually. It was
what happens?
Very illuminating. And this
back
was,
into the left.
I thought I had a lot of knowledge on JFK. I thought I was pretty good. I'm pretty up on my JFK trivia. Oh no, it was all that I had been spoon fed. Turns out this guy was sickly for his entire life.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I knew that Joe Jr. was supposed to be the president and was supposed to be senator, went off to war, and then was a little bit jealous that JFK, who had lied and cheated and used his dad's money to get into war because he was more of an interventionist. And he was way too sick to ever go. He couldn't pass
he
physical.
He had his back problems.
Right.
He was doped up throughout his presidency.
Oh, yeah. And just, I mean, and on pain medicines, Addison's disease had a very risky surgery for the 1950s.
I guess I didn't know that part.
That kept him bedridden for like 2 years.
A back surgery?
And yes, very risky. Okay. He had spine fusion.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Very risky at the time. Was one of the least accomplished senators of anyone's lifetime because he was mostly sick and mostly just didn't do anything. And he won mostly by his dad's money.
Sure.
And it really was because Joe, he did his thing on what's the name of his boat? They made the famous movie about it.
Oh, for the love of God.
P-29. What am I not thinking of?
No, I'll look it up because I don't know. I'll look it up.
So anyways, he had his famous story, and the brother didn't want to come back when he joined the British before the Americans were in the war and continued throughout the war fighting with the British as a pilot.
PT-109.
So here he had this heroic story, and he came back a war hero, and even more fucked up for because he shouldn't have been there, and he swam like 3 miles and saved some guy strapped to his back, and swam 3 miles to the ocean to an island and saved one of someone in his boat's life. So the brother went on a raid just to get like some kind of a heroic return home and just died.
Died.
No.
So, but that was the great white hope. He
See
was
that grandstanding. I'll get you right.
There. Yeah. Right. But he was.
Look at me, Dad. Look at me.
Yeah, he should have run for office. He Dad. Was the one that was supposed to be the president, the father, another casual Joe Senior, casual racist, kind of our favorite Brit. No, they were. They because we did not get into that war to save any Jewish people. We got in for 100 different reasons because like Joe Kennedy was kind of like, well, they're fixing the Jew problem. Who really cares? I mean, they were very anti-Semitic.
No, well, the whole Catholic world of theirs.
Yeah. No, I mean, but America in general is very anti-Semitic and really was not interested in helping any Jewish people. It just became like, oh, well, all right, we're doing everything else. We might as well do that, too. But he was terrible. He was kind of like, the British shouldn't get involved. They'll never win. And don't suck America into this. Just let Hitler have what he wants. Like, fuck Poland. I mean, just really terrifying stories. And just the kind of buying of that he was cheating on Jackie from the get-go.
The get-go, right.
Sad.
And the fact that the Addisons was hidden, that they, he needed Keynes, but that he did it. When he did, and as much as there was a lot of, like, lying and miraging of facts, when it came time to, like, politic and actually go door-to-door when he was running for a state representative, he walked up and down flights of stairs. He went through the tenements. Yeah. And he walked up and down all those stairs, and they said he was in excruciating pain and like bedridden forever. That it was so hard for him to win the election that he was ineffective as the representative and the senator because he was dead.
Dead from the running.
Well, now which and I'm sorry, I'm so ignorant with this. Is it FDR that people didn't realize was?
Yes.
In a wheelchair?
He was in the wheelchair. That they hid that most of the time.
And there was wait, I thought that was like a whole thing, that he was like in a wheelchair. Everybody knows
no,
that.
No, but that was the second?
No, they really did. He was never photographed in a wheelchair.
No, in fact, oddly, if you watch a certain TV, there was a thing on the TV show Pawn Stars that's on History Channel.
Yeah.
Some guy walks in and actually had movie footage, film, silent film footage of FDR in a wheelchair, and it had never nobody had ever seen him in a film.
Talk about your Zapruder
Still pictures of him in a wheelchair were, but literally film of him in a wheelchair being transported. Nobody had ever seen
anything they could to keep sure
that out. I guess I'm thinking still pictures. Like, right. I've seen him. I always thought that
he was in
a
wheelchair.
Yeah,
but I think a lot, and maybe I'm wrong in this.
Towards the end.
Towards the end, they did, but where he wouldn't be reelected. Like, where that wasn't a thing, I believe,
because people
right?
would people not reelect him because he was in a wheelchair?
He got reelected 4 times. They had to change the entire constitution.
That's why they changed
for
it.
How often he got reelected.
Yeah.
So it had nothing to do with it. They didn't care.
But it was at the end of those
but
four
they
terms.
They didn't want him photographed like
photographed
that.
Like
they
that.
Didn't. They were very careful with his image. And he was another one that had dalliances that they never talked about. But that the press... So and when LBJ actually... because the there weren't really primaries. Primaries were kind of jokes. It was just a bunch of old white guys in a convention hall, and they would nominate who they wanted for president. And since LBJ was the speaker of the, he was the he's what Harry Reid is now to the Senate
majority
leader of the Senate. He saw no reason to compete in primaries against JFK.
Okay.
But JFK went out and did the primaries and just kept running and running and running. And
people loved him.
LBJ didn't even bother till like the week before to announce his candidacy for presidency.
Because he thought it was the old dudes.
But it wasn't until the 70s that they really started doing primaries. Mostly they fought in those conventions, and that's why those were big TV events for a long time. Those would last like 3 or 4 days of like speeches and rallies, and you didn't know who was going to be the nominee before that ended. And LBJ was like, "What the fuck is going on?" He's 4 years old.
Yeah, he's a kid,
and so he started the whole like the rumors.
He's a kid in pain.
He got people to investigate what was really wrong with him because they were like, "Why was he sick? Why was he always in the hospital? What were these secret surgeries? Can he really be president?" And then he won anyways. They couldn't prove it. They couldn't prove anything. And then
isn't that wild? The cover up stuff.
And then they turned around and JFK said, "I can't win without Texas. Right. Like, I can't become president without Texas." So he put LBJ on his own ticket as his vice president. And I mean, just crazy,
smart.
Really. And there's 5 more days of this, but just the politics, like the early this or last century's politics are just fascinating. Yep. At the shit they got away with, and the smear campaigns and the lies and just by the press.
I remember getting
into it. And LBJ
into...
was like, what am I not doing? He's like, right. This guy's not president.
Yeah.
He's a shitty senator, and he's on the cover of every fucking magazine.
But he was cute. Yeah.
The father was Joe Kennedy and had all the money in the world. So absolutely. He would pay every publisher to be like.
Yeah, but Clayton's right. I mean, he was the
shiny penny.
He sure was.
But then the first guy, Cabot Clay.
Or the shiny 50 cent pieces.
The guy that he beat for the first congressional seat was a Democrat. And all he had to do was win the primary because it was Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing was, is they told him, they're like, yeah, you're nice looking, but Cabot Clay is hot. He's rich. He's got a beautiful wife. You can't compete with that. You're a skinny turd. That's where he had to like schmooze it and get it on his own. But so it's kind of funny that he wasn't the only one that was attractive. He was just
watching all the right ones.
How much money was right?
A lot of nuances. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. So they're on all week. They're on PBS. It's on CNN, and it's.
I remember getting into it in sixth grade. That was something we had to pick our favorite president, and we had to do this, and we had to do that, and. Stupidly, the reason that I picked LBJ, the reason I picked JFK was because he died on 11/22. And 2, 11, and 22 are my favorite numbers. I know it sounds silly, but I'm in sixth grade. I'm 12.
You're 12, right, yeah.
And I just became fascinated, absolutely fascinated. And when the Warren Commission, I have the hardbound Warren Commission, and sat there and read the whole fucking thing.
And that was President Ford on the Warren Commission. Yeah. And they said that killed his presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's right.
It was after Watergate and everyone was suspicious and he was part of a suspicious time. And
there's
just
there's something, and this just sticks with me, and I don't know if I've made it up in my head or not, about George H.W. being somewhere in all of this.
Well, he was from the CIA.
Yeah. But there was something, and he's like in all. It's pretty wild, like to just kind of take.
There's probably a 6 degrees of separation throughout all of it.
Yeah. It is. It's a fascinating part of our history.
It really is.
And to think of
the Vietnam War and
he started it
with JFK.
Yeah.
Yes, but then they wanted to end it. This is as far as wanting.
Oh, I remember
to
my
end,
mom hate my mom. I've heard her say it before. She hates Johnson.
Yeah.
Just because.
Right.
Of
and
Nam.
All the good things he did. All the good things that he did, because all the policies that JFK died before he could do, before he could get done, like the Civil Rights Act is LBJ. The NASA program is LBJ.
Right,
everything.
Right.
Because he had to finish the Kennedy presidency.
Right.
But then what kills him is that he escalated the Vietnam War.
That's exactly what I mean. Like everything was starting to. And then. And.
Oh, no. It just.
No, he did. I'm not
but
saying
LBJ
that he
just
did
didn't,
not.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that Kennedy didn't
turn it around.
Start it, but I'm saying it was on the downslide, as it were, and then it got revved back up. And you know, depending on what you believe or what you've read,
it was
because
like
that's really what it is how much was LBJ in kind of bed with the Republicans as well, and Texas.
Oh, not
being,
at all.
Texas being a big. Oil and big money and everything else. I don't know.
He lost all the Republicans. They weren't Republicans then. They were Democrats. He lost the South. He passed the Civil Rights Act and he lost the entire South. That's his, famous quote is that he lost the South.
Right.
They would never. The Democrats would never win the South again for a generation. All the Dixiecrats became Republicans. He wasn't in bed with any of those people. But that's why you got to watch this. It's fascinating,
right? And I'm not,
it's
not talking
kind of
with
like
the Democrats.
This is
I'm
all the PBS
the Republicans, but
yeah, it's
I
on PBS all this
mean.
Week. But it was kind of like a surge.
Right.
He did what he thought was a surge to get out of it, and it just
did not work.
No, it didn't work at all.
No,
it was, but it's very interesting. Sure. But the fact that you're not, none of us were taught Vietnam in school. Because
no, I truly, and I know that you want to, but just very quickly, there was a. You go through school and you're taught up to like the war of fucking 1812, and who really gives a shit, you know? And then they keep going, but they stop at World War II.
Yeah, because they can't explain Korea. Vietnam
they
is too
like grandpa in World War II is really cool and exciting,
right? But they also had it written. They also had like a an end game with it. Whereas with the Korean War and Vietnam, there wasn't any, like, nobody could really agree on what happened and what was going on.
Yeah, and you can't teach ambiguity.
Exactly. And so I remember being in Dan Forrest's class. I used to be so bored in high school. And I would sit there and I was, teach me something new. Like, let's talk about domestic and world issues. And let's talk about the recent past. You know, let's, something. And he was of the age where he would have been in Vietnam or could have been. And he made a comment one time about that, being that age. And finally, I said something about we have to talk about Vietnam. I want to know about Korea. I want to know about Vietnam. Tell me about those wars. And he was like, Marnie, I can't teach you about those. And I said, well, then let's do like the 60s and have a sit-in. And I went out and I sat in the hallway. And, well, within about 10 minutes, I had everybody else sitting in the hallway with me. And
yeah,
he
you're
was
like a conscientious objector.
Yeah. He was like, Jesus. You know, damn you, Ryer. And he asked if he could speak with me because I was like, is anybody going anywhere? Nope, we're not. And I went in and he said, I can't. And you could tell, like, just his genuine emotion. He wanted to. He wanted to be able to explain. And his side really is what it was, but it wasn't written in a textbook.
Yeah, they had history. No. History has not been written on any of these stories, correct. So we'll never, you'll never be able to teach.
That's right.
Like, you know what I mean?
They'll
like,
only because, learn what they
well,
see on PBS.
Well,
what...
he went home. You're exactly right, Clayton. Because if he went home, or if he taught us that day, if I had won, if you will, parenthetically, but if yeah. if that had been the case and we had gone back in and he had said, okay, kids, here's Vietnam. You are going
you'd
to have
still be sitting,
me.
You'd
right.
still be sitting
home.
There like 14 years later.
You'd have the me that would go home and be like, Mom, he totally taught us about Vietnam and this is what he said,
and
blah, blah, blah.
A fire
and
would
my
have,
mom
oh
would have probably
God.
Been like, the I agree. Fuck? But the other parents,
right.
Is,
right.
they would be like,
yeah.
That
the
is
hell?
Bullshit. That
because
is not
we,
the way
right.
it was.
No, you're right.
And
we haven't agreed on the history yet. Like, right. you're not going to teach anything about the Gulf War because we right. haven't all agreed on the sun.
And there was no win.
No. But like, everybody has to be dead.
God,
and then you can
so
say,
right.
like,
you can make up what you want.
You know,
that's
because then you can say
that
we fought the Civil War to free slaves
well,
because
yes.
you don't find out about states' rights and all that stuff. And, you know, they don't teach any of that
well,
shit.
Well, you hear about 1812 because we lost our ass and what the French had to come in. Right? The British or the French. We almost became colonies again.
I don't know. They taught me so many fucking times that I don't remember.
Yeah, but there's like four different wars in there. But
and right, but I mean, the grand scheme of things is it. But we didn't really come out champions in that one.
We're not looking good.
So that's what I mean. So until they write the history and they have a clear story, they can't teach it. You can't teach ambiguity. Right. And you can't teach children in America
because then you can't teach them.
Sometimes
to think
we're
yes.
wrong.
And question.
Like you yes. can't do the Pledge of Allegiance and then say we fuck up all the time.
Oh well, there's yeah. that.
We're not really that brave.
I did think I did
you
find
know,
it interesting.
Or just, we are.
I'm gonna homeschool Palmer, yeah. and I want the teacher to be out. I'm just gonna bring her in here. I'm gonna start bringing her here on
Jesus.
Tuesdays
and just
well,
tons
that's
of documentaries.
A school of hard knocks.
I did find it interesting because you never hear it spoken on media. But when what are we calling it? It wasn't a tsunami. It was a tropical storm. What was it that just hit?
Philippines.
Super
the Philippines.
Typhoon.
Typhoon. So the typhoon clears the island that is Singapore, and then it goes up, and they said it. You know, it's heading for Nam, and then it was going to go up the coast. And I'm like, you never hear Vietnam ever mentioned
you're
in
right.
the media ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, because I mean, literally, like the map, and it was there, and they were saying it. And it was just wow! It takes a typhoon for that to be brought up.
Because
you
didn't even say the
word. I mean, aside from the fact if they're talking about history, you know,
they don't have a lot of drama. There's not a lot of drama there, though.
But no, but still, it was just interesting. Like I never hear it in any kind of a good. It's never in a good
Kim
connotation. But all of a sudden,
so that's Korea.
Right.
Well, that's right. It is.
But still, I just thought it was interesting. All of a sudden,
I was thinking it was not.
It was brought up.
There's not a lot of drama there anymore.
I'm an idiot. I was totally thinking that.
That's the problem.
For once, I got the country right, and
you
got it wrong.
Did,
there
that's
was
right.
that
gong.
There's that. 9:45. We have one final segment to give you here on this Tuesday night, and we're going to start it right now.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Katie, did you have something to say? Oh, wait, I changed pages.
We've changed segments, too.
Gong.
Where the hell did it just go? Okay, so the question was, oh, which is worse, when a good friend moves away or losing touch with a good friend who lives like a block away?
When a good friend moves away. If the good friend lives a block away and we're not chatting, there's a reason.
Yeah, okay.
But I use my friend Dale. Dale Spies. He's in New York. He moved away. And there's not one good fucking reason that we don't chat and laugh and do whatever. But we have not.
It's almost like an out of sight, out of mind sort of a situation.
Yeah, yeah, very much. And I don't know. So, yeah, that's really sad. But if somebody's down the street and I'm not talking to them, there's a reason.
There's a bigger issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No chili cook-off 2014.
Okay. Wow.
Gong.
Give her one rabbit, next thing you know.
Wow.
She's just got opinions about everything. I don't know. I was going to say when someone down the street you've lost touch with, because that just means that you're one or the other of you is just a poor communicator, and sometimes that's me. I've lost touch with some friends that have lived in town, and that makes me feel sad. And mm-hmm. and there's one friend in particular I'm thinking about, and that it's my fault entirely. She had reached out a few times and I was just not reciprocating for no other reason than I was busy at the time, you know. And I just like, and I've brought it up to some other friends. I feel like a shitty friend because we were best friends growing up. But so that, I think that's worse, because then I just know, like, I suck in this since.
But
this
isn't it easier
instance.
If they're that close that you think,
I actually don't,
I'll go
think,
down and see her next week.
No, I don't think it is, because why
no,
didn't I go down and
do
see
it.
Her yeah. last 2 years ago?
Or you're at the Piggly Wiggly and you walk in and you see them in the same aisle and you see,
yeah,
that's worse because you're like, hi, oh, I meant to call you, and you're fucking lying because for whatever reason
you haven't,
your life has moved on with a
without
girlfriend
them.
or a child or whatever it is
without
and
that person.
You're
and
in two
sad.
Different circles.
Yeah, it's sad. But I think it sucks when people move away. I've had some really good friends move away that I've lost touch with, but I think that if I were to, but we know the reason that we've lost touch is because we now live, you know, they live in New York or DC and I live in Phoenix and we just don't see each other that often. But when we talk or when we do text, or if I were to go to New York and run into and call, I would call this person and we would visit and we would have a great time.
Yeah.
Whereas it's just more awkward. It's like more realistic to understand that you moved however far away,
yeah,
and our relationship is going to change, and that's okay. But when you live down the street,
yeah,
it just sucks. It's a sucky, more sucky feeling, I think.
I think both are bad. And I feel like I deserted. You probably all heard me talk about my friend Duke back home, the little guy that I ran. We were inseparable, and he's still there. He has a wonderful life. He's married. He's got his singing career, and he's traveling and doing his thing. But when I moved from Joplin to here, because for me, when I moved because I had to have my life and do my thing, I always felt like, and I think a couple people had made comment that he felt abandoned, literally, because he and I were inseparable. We did everything together. All we ran around, did things. So I felt bad because I pulled out of that friendship and I made my own world. I had to do things for myself. Now, the lovely thing is, through the Facebooks of the world and occasional text messages, you know, we comment on things. We're still together within that. Randomly, he'll text me the punchline of a joke that we did 25 years ago.
Right.
And so that's still there. And if I go home, it's still there. But I feel I have always kind of felt a little guilty because I felt like I left that. But I do agree. And it happens even to this day. Like I made the comment, you run into somebody that you used to hang out with all the time. You were best of friends, and maybe you're not exactly sure what the tilting point was as to why you fell out of circuit. In fact, oddly, just yesterday, I lent a phone charger to a guy who I used to run with all the time, and I can't put my finger on why we didn't, but I think it was because a friend of his was a jerk, and I was like, I am not dealing with you. So for 3-4 years, we just never talked. And all of a sudden, he shows back up, and the friend's gone, and he's like, "Hi," you know.
Yeah.
So but that's a weird thing. Again, mm-hmm. to be right down the street, they drive by, or you see them when you walk, or whatever.
And sometimes, to me, sometimes it's just schedules.
Like, true, your life changes.
Yeah, you're just you can make all the plans you want to, but I work every Thursday, Friday. So if that's the days you have to work with.
Right. We're never going to.
Thursday, Friday falls into some special occasion that we're going to make. You know, some things that you can live down the street, but like where I work, because it's a giant campus. So, like, Kara now works, she works days in a different part of the campus. We work in the same block. We're never going to run into each other.
No.
Like, it's just not. We're not. It's
you
not
see her more on Facebook than you ever will
right,
in person.
It's not spontaneously going to happen. My friend Kelly became an educator on a different floor. We see each other on the elevator
occasionally.
Once a month. We'll run each, and we're like, oh my God, we should have lunch. And where we, and it used to be just the ease of, what's that word? The propinquity, just the nearness of
ooh,
it.
Oh, God. Fancy word. Propinquity?
Yeah.
I'm Googling that.
Just the nearness of someone that makes you be, and it makes you really just closer acquaintances than I think that it actually is friends.
Someone did their crossword.
I agree with you because I've often found that I'm really good at the friendships of
convenience,
propinquity, and that when I'm working at a certain job, these are my groups of friends, and then when I change that job and I do something else, these are my friends, and then like, and then of course you know you have like your string of friends throughout your life that you'll continue to be friendly with, and of course, but I'm the same way. Like it's hard for me to. And I hate that. And there's this there's a guy that I know. He's a great man, and he's a very, very nice man. But
can't remember his name.
No, I know who he is.
I'm just kidding.
Exactly who
if
he is.
If I see him, I know him.
That's one of my favorite jokes. Fabulous guy. Can't remember his name.
But he really he like always wants to get together, and I just am like I feel like a jerk, but I'm like I don't have time for you, and I feel like an asshole. But I have one morning. We do coffees, and I'm like I have one morning out of the week where I don't have an activity with my daughter. And that morning I do a play date with either this person or this person, this person. And then we go home and then she goes down for her nap. You know, like life gets in the way.
Well, children will definitely.
And it is, but even just like
life,
work.
Life in general.
But just, even work or other friends. It's so hard sometimes. And I feel like a dick when I'm like, I'm just too busy for you. Well, I feel like if I really wanted to make time, I could.
Yeah, you'd schedule it around.
But then how
do you want to come to a play date? You know what I mean?
It's hard.
Like my friend Renee's schedule is always so asinine. Like I never know what the hell he's doing. So the easy thing though about the two of us is he's like, I have to run errands. Like I have to go get my dry cleaning. I have to go get this done. And we just ride together.
I love
and that's
that. Yeah.
That's what we end up doing together is we're not doing anything but his errands.
Right.
And then we just chit chat through the whole time. Like one time we went to LA together so we could go to the dentist. No lie.
I love
that
it.
Is funny.
Like I was on my way to I was going to get on a cruise. He had a dentist appointment. So I'm like, well, why don't we just fly out together? I'll drive around, do your errands, and then at the end of the day, you just drop me off at the boat dock. And that was our day of doing something together. We did absolutely nothing. But
I love it, though.
You know, at some Kelly point, does we, got that. We did a coffee, but that was the only way that his stupid schedule. And I tell people, it would be easier for me if you moved across country than if you got a Monday through Friday drop.
Yeah.
Because I don't take weekends off. And I don't want to work on a Monday to see you on a Saturday. I'd just rather not see you.
Right,
like,
truly,
I don't want to work on Mondays.
Well, and with that when I say it's not necessarily just about kids, and three of us would know that with the idea of just going back to time. Like you said, I mean, and it's not about, and then people get all fucking quirky and like, oh, you're choosing one over another. No, that's not it. Like on last Thursday, for instance, with Jason, I went to look at an apartment with him. He's like, hey, I need a buddy, you know, to go look at an apartment. Okay. Well, the Vikings game is on that night. So if you want, we can go do that. I don't see him otherwise. He lives on the east side of Jesus. But he may be moving to 16th Street in Osborne.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't change anything from the east side of Jesus. I mean,
yeah,
Monday, this is what it looks like with Aaron and I. And Tuesday, I come here.
Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday, I'm either with Aaron or I teach.
Yeah, it's just like a...
And you know, right?
Yes,
I mean, and the thing is that people will be like, you can't give up that time with Aaron? Nope.
No.
Not saying I can't, I don't want to.
I don't want to. Right. Yeah.
This is my normal, not chaos. I get to sit and watch her enjoy The Housewives. And I'm okay. And I love that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean I don't want to spend time with you.
Yeah, it just means that there's just
another priority.
Right.
Aaron, yeah. The priority.
Well, I think another thing that's factoring in that I don't know much about, Al, he and I were on the same boat, that you two are on a different boat of, our lives are our lives. You factor in other people with them. You have a wife and you have a girlfriend. And Al and I, he's married to his job and his remote control and TV.
And, very happy.
And I'm running everything in every bar and all the shit that I do. Sure. So you're kind of, we've got the freedom, but we're married to something else. Absolutely. Other than a relationship. So, you know, life gets in the way where you take the priority of a relationship. And rather than meeting somebody for the coffee, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go host an event.
Right, right.
Oh, and I tried dating somebody.
Well, we talked about that with Respite on a Monday night. Remember?
Yeah, yeah. About Respite Care.
With Bingo
right.
back in the day and the whole thing. So I totally get that. That's what you needed to do. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was trying to date somebody in September, ish. And it was ish.
Okay.
But then, again, I want to travel. So it's like, okay, I do have 5 days going up, but I'm 5 days off coming up. But I'm going to leave town.
Yeah, but I'm not going to spend with you.
Right. Yeah. and the thing is I don't really want to, and I don't really want to hear your excuses about why you don't want to travel with me because I like to travel. Yeah. And then I came back, and then I forgot we were dating.
Sort of.
And so I was kind of standing there in a coffee shop staring at him, and I couldn't figure out what he wanted. And I walked away.
Well, he probably wanted to talk to me.
I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, I think we're still dating.
Oh, no.
I forgot about this guy.
We're just not traveling together.
He forgot about him, too.
Yeah. Right. No, it was awful. And I realized as I'm writing my... Because I was just out reading. Yeah. I was out with a book, riding my bike around town with a book. Ran into him, and I'm like, oh, hi. Mm. And then we had a conversation. I'm like... And he's like, I want to go to dinner. We should eat. And I walked away. Because I was like, well...
You should go eat something.
You should probably work that out.
Oh my God.
You should get a bite somewhere.
But it was like, I was like a block and a half away before I realized he was just trying to find out. Like
me.
But I was putting up such signals of me and my book and my bike are out for the day having a lovely day.
See ya.
I just never thought to invite anybody else.
Right.
It just did not occur to me.
As a little note for Al, we were both wrong. Hasselhoff was on The Young and the Restless.
Oh, he was.
And that's why, right when we said
I would not have known if that was a correct or incorrect. Whew, you've done it again. You've wasted a perfectly good 3 hours of your time listening to us. We are The Show with Clayton McKee. That is me alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. We round out the cast weekly, coming to you live from 7 to 10. That is Arizona time.
Yes, it is.
On a Tuesday night. We've managed to accomplish not much, but just talk on, drink, and try to solve a little bit of world problems. But we will see you next Tuesday. And with that, we will leave you with our typical send-off that we do each and every Tuesday night. We will
see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America.